you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G. Ah!
Born in vagina.
I have never been more ready in my entire life to do this right now.
Howdy. Howdy.
Hello.
Looks like it might turn cloudy, but come right in. The coffee pot is hot on the stove. Howdy.
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 Don't mind my old dog, Rowdy.
Hello.
Cause he's all barked. Now park and tell me how far you drove.
How far you drove.
Hello!
How do you think the show's going so far?
I think it's weak.
And now.
Stay tuned now for the amazing Tammy Heidi.
No. Our feature presentation.
Oh, no, not yet.
Howdy, howdy, don't mind my old dog, Rowdy.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's how they wrote that song. That's the page they turned into the printer and said, this one's done.
So they're happy with that. That's their final choice.
It's no worse than Fergie's lyrics. It's no worse at
well,
all.
Well, no, of course not. But
Fergie's hot.
You don't hold, exactly. You don't hold Fergie's lyrics up as good, first of all. And second of all, she's hot.
She's not the standard that you go, well, if it's good enough for Fergie, then I guess it's good enough to put out. So if it's good enough for Fergie, it ought to really go back and be rewritten. That's really the standard.
Yeah. Just the idea that the word howdy is probably the name of that song is a little odd.
Yeah. I know.
It's an old song.
It's an all-time classic. By the way, some rumors, and I don't want to get anybody too excited, but the great Buddy Ebsen may be performing that at the K-Rock Weenie Roastie Fiesta 2007. We'll see if that comes through.
Didn't he?
Yeah, I thought he was.
Didn't he? Isn't
like,
he
really just not. Alive.
Not breathing.
Not available. He's on tour. Is he
dead?
He's singing. He's singing that in heaven.
Exactly.
Morning, everybody. It's the Kevin and Bean Show. It's Thursday, and it's the 3rd of May. I see them.
I like boobs.
What?
I like boobs. Big boobs. Love them.
Yeah, they're pretty popular.
Great.
So, the next Lakers-Suns game is going to be...
When's the next game? I forget, Mike.
Most likely, like, November.
September.
October. That's a long break in the playoffs.
Well,
wow.
Yeah, they've got a lot of teams now. And they, with the 7-game series, they got a lot of scheduling to work in.
Well, what they have to do is they have to win between now and then, which involves an entire offseason and a whole nother new season.
Gotcha.
Oh, I see.
Didn't win so much.
Then they might play him again.
They didn't win as much as they lost last night, is what happened, mostly.
Well, I mean, more than, I mean, if you want to be technical about it. Yeah.
If you're basing the success of the game on who had the most points.
Right.
Yeah, technically you could say the Lakers came up short. I mean, if that's your criteria.
Seems like you're a little narrow in your vision, but.
Right.
All right.
Lakers!
That's fine.
Lakers!
What I'm saying is, if you look at it as a Westerner, they might not have won so much, but you could use other cultures to analyze.
What other culture would help exactly?
I don't know.
Well, that was well thought out.
I'd like to look at it through another culture if I could, but I don't know how to do that. Yeah, that's
so good times.
Good. So basketball is gone for me. That's bad.
Well, are there any other teams you're excited about? Anybody else you like?
I mean, not anywhere near.
Kevin doesn't really transfer his affections. Like
I don't
that.
Usually. I did grow up in Phoenix, and they've always been my second favorite team. But when they play each other, I always root for the Lakers. So I probably
now that LA's out, though, maybe Suns. Yeah,
probably, but it's not nearly as nearly
exciting.
As good.
Yeah,
you know, the Ducks are in the playoffs, and I'm a Kings fan. And,
right,
yeah, I watch
team
them,
either,
but you know,
wait, Dodgers.
Dodgers. That's what I want.
How about the Dodgers?
That's right.
Alone ahead of everybody else in the National League West. One of the best records in major leagues. That's what we're talking about.
You do have the Dodgers.
Yeah, I don't like baseball that much, but go Dodgers.
All right, way to sell it.
/ Angels. I don't know.
So, do we have time for something else real quick here? So, Lisa called me out on this, and I think she's wrong, as usual, because, well, she's Lisa. We were talking about the Queen, who I you know I have a crush on. The Queen is coming to visit. The Queen of England, Queen Elizabeth, is coming to visit America's first permanent English settlement. Jamestown is 400 years old this year, and the Queen will be visiting. Now, while she's in Virginia today, she is going to meet with survivors of the Virginia Tech college shooting from a couple of weeks ago. So I casually mentioned, thinking that there'd be no opposition to this, that I'd make that trade. I mean, I'd get shot up if I survived, if I got a chance to meet the Queen. And how can anyone find anything wrong with that, first of all?
There's not a word coming out of your mouth that makes any sense.
First of all, I do believe that Bean would happily get shot if he knew that he wouldn't die.
I'd like to set that up.
If he could meet the Queen. But then there's more to it. Because if you are a student at Virginia Tech who got shot, there's a really good chance your friends got shot and killed. And I said, but you wouldn't make that trade-off if your friends died, would you?
Of course
died,
he doesn't have
you?
Friends.
And he said...
Well, of course.
Yeah, probably.
I would because then they wouldn't get to meet the Queen and I would.
Here's a guy surmising about what it would be like to be shot who really doesn't like people at all anyway. But he has some friends.
Of course I have friends.
I said, what about Frank Murphy? Would you let Frank Murphy die so you could meet
the Queen?
Best
man at my wedding.
What
did I say to you, Lisa?
Of course you would.
Yeah, I think I would.
He's had a good life, I said.
And then what did I say?
You said, what about the King of Mexico?
Yes.
What if King of Mexico said,
I would really miss the King because the King's a good dude. I'd really miss him.
He's a young man.
I did pause. I'd be sad to see the King go, but it would give me something to talk to the Queen about because I could tell her about my cool friend Dave that died.
I'd like to start at the very beginning of your ridiculous statement with I have a crush on the Queen. That's just not possible.
It is for me.
She's 500 years old.
She's 81.
The Queen of England.
She's a hot 81.
I'm better than you.
It's not like she's just an old woman at the grocery store that I just saw today and think she's attractive. She's somebody that I've loved my entire life since I was a little kid. I love the Queen. So, I mean, it makes sense that I would have a crush on the Queen.
What if one of your cows got shot and killed?
See, he cares about his cows more than people. That's a guy who you just have to go,
all right. That's just not true. It's not. I mean...
But see, animals don't ever do anything bad, really. I think they're such innocents that would you sacrifice a cow?
Which one?
Hey.
Doesn't matter. Pick one.
Oh. That'd be hard. I got to think about that.
So, Dave, the King of Mexico, fine.
There's plenty of people.
Your stupid cow. No.
I love my cow. You know I love my cow.
Cow?
We may have found something Dean would not sacrifice to meet the Queen of England
for. Queen of England. If the Queen of England was in my house, I would leave. You know?
Oh, that's just...
Who would want to talk to her?
She's a very bright woman.
That does what? She sits around in a castle and does nothing. She's responsible for nothing.
That's not
she
true.
Make
Did
laws,
you see the
Bean?
Queen?
No.
She does a lot of stuff.
Does she make laws?
No.
She does have influence.
Yeah, but she doesn't make laws.
She has influence.
She does. With the prime minister.
Bean, she's an amazing person, and it would be a tremendous honor to meet her, but...
Of course it would.
Not on that level, my God.
Kevin, they never let you meet her.
Especially for a heterosexual grown man.
You'd break all the rules.
Isn't that true of Bino all the way along the line?
I'm just saying, here's all I'm saying, then we got to move on, is that if people can't get their heads around the Virginia Tech tragedy and say, wow, there's no silver lining in this story, I'm just saying there is one. Now you can look at it and go... Really, not a bad deal for some of those people. What about the people who just got shot in the wrist or something? What about somebody who just got shot in the wrist and they'll be fine?
Those people don't want to meet the Queen because they don't care about her.
Oh, they're going to have the best time.
None of them want to meet her.
No, that is the truth.
Are you kidding? They're going to gather and go, you have to meet the Queen. They're going to go, what? Can't I study?
Haven't I suffered enough?
I have a final. I got to study.
And you, by the way, are the biggest candy ass in the world when it comes to like pain. And you're someone who's been open about the fact that you've never been around guns and have any idea what you know what it would be like to be shot, dude? It would hurt so bad.
But I would be so over it by now, though. It's been like 3 weeks or something.
Oh,
I'd be
you'd be
healing
over
up.
It, my ass. You'd be, I'd be complaining every day.
You get a hangnail and you bitch and moan for a month.
Not today. I wouldn't be complaining today. Because today I'd be making sweet love to Her Majesty.
See, he's just saying this to get a rise out of us. I don't know why I play along every time.
I believe him.
No one loves the Queen. Nobody does.
I was... probably less than 6 feet from the Queen last time I was in England, by the way.
It must have been one of the biggest thrills of my life. It was one of the biggest thrills of your life.
It was. To somebody that iconic to be that close to in person, to be able to, you know, to be with, it was awesome. I had a great time.
You're a homo.
Oh.
queen.
That's the way it's going to be.
The queen can suck it. The queen blows.
The queen does, she doesn't suck or blow, by the way. She doesn't do either of those things.
She's just dumb. I hate the whole idea
She's not dumb. She's extremely bright woman. Extremely bright.
I'm extremely bright. And Bean is my loyal subject. See, Bean was born in England. A lot of people don't realize. So he's a foreigner to begin with.
Yes, that's true.
So my opinion doesn't count.
Correct. That's correct. Because what do you know about being an American Idol, right? You're not from here.
I'm not an American Idol. Yeah. What are you talking about?
That's what that kid said about Simon.
Right.
All right. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean show, shall we? Let's get off that ugly queen topic and move on. Ugly, by the way. Way ugly.
Queen is hot. Are you kidding me?
Lee. Two words. Ug and Lee.
How dare you? How dare you? Well, I mean, she's older, but do you remember what she looked like?
She's ugly for her age.
Do you remember what she looked like
yes.
when she was
No,
when
not she when was she young? Was younger. No, I didn't pay. I'm not 70.
Queen rules. I mean, that's funny because the queen really does rule. I mean, that's not a
but
joke.
But she doesn't. She's just a figurehead. She doesn't rule anything. Nothing.
How dare you?
She has no responsibility. She's a figurehead. She waves.
What?
That's it. The queen waves, Bean.
That's not what the queen does.
It's her whole job.
What about today's Kevin and Bean show?
Now, you threw me off on a bad start.
Well,
I love the nothing queen. I'd like to get a shot so I could meet her. Shut up.
I bet if we open up the phones, and we're not going to, but if we open up the phones, there'd be a lot of people who would take that deal.
Yeah, I'll bet there would be.
No,
I'll
there would be one
charge in full speed.
Person.
Yeah, I'd like to get shot so I can meet the queen. That'd be great. Good trade-off. You need to be on your own on this one. All right.
The homosexual is right.
That's correct. Come on.
Let's talk about the Kevin and Bean show, shall we? This morning, we are going to talk about this madam in Washington, D.C., who apparently has been caught. And she says no sex happened. And if it did, she's shocked. Shocked and amazed.
I thought they were paying the $300 an hour to just come over and watch TV with me. That's what I thought.
Yeah, it wasn't just her either. She was the madam, so she had a whole stable of chicks that she says she was just sending out to be good conversationalists.
Yes, I'm sure they
something
all
like
are,
what,
too.
Like 15,000 clients or something like that on her list that she turned over?
She's got
a lot of people sweating in D.C. right now.
She's got the little black list, and I like ABC because they're not just going to come out with it. They're going to tease it all week and then do it at 2020
sure.
sweeps
yep.
tomorrow night. So anyway, we're going to talk about that. That looks like good fun right there. There's a scientific study out that says lesbians, as a higher percentage of lesbians are fat than heterosexual women. Higher percentage of lesbians fat.
Are overweight.
Yeah.
It's a nicer way to say it.
Okay.
Oh, God.
God damn, I hate you all.
Be nice.
They're obese.
They're fat. They have more fat
obese.
Than any other people. God
Not
damn
than
it.
Any other people.
In the world.
I can't believe
that.
I need to work on another show. I can't take this.
I can't
the queen. Don't call them fat. They're overweight.
Lisa, lesbians are so fat, I'm surprised they don't have a special lesbian minute on The Insider every night. That's how fat they are.
Bean.
We also have Gustavo Arellano, who is going to be in our studio today. He is the author of Ask a Mexican.
Si, si, puede.
Fantastic little book.
Yeah.
We're going to take phone calls as well.
Excellent.
Got some highlights of 24/7, Oscar De La Hoya versus Floyd Mayweather Jr., which is going to be maybe the best fight ever Saturday night, hopefully.
This is the one where a nuclear bomb went off in Canyon Country, and
no, that's 24/7.
Oscar De La Hoya has to race against the clock to try to find the people who have the other bomb so that it doesn't go off.
No, that's 24. They already got the bombs, too, by the way, on 24.
Oh, all right. But they're still going to make him box?
De La Hoya, Floyd Mayweather Jr. It's a fight Saturday night.
Okay.
HBO. Pay-per-view. God, I hate you guys. speaking of which, we're going to talk to Jim Lampley on the phone today. He's going to do play-by-play for that.
Oh,
you call
great.
It play-by-play for boxing? No. What do you call it?
Blow-by-blow.
Blow-by-blow. Okay. Speaking
you
of the queen.
Made that up.
So that's coming up. And also K-Rock's Weenie Roast E-Fiesta 2007, Lick Lisa, the Weenie Edition.
Yay.
Coming up today on the Kevin and Bean Show. It's 5:44. We'll take a quick break and come back with a showbiz beat next.
Ralph is here with the first showbiz beat for a Thursday morning on K-Rock. Ralph, good morning. What's going on? Ralph back in Philadelphia, by the way. I think he's got another family or another job or something. There he's not telling us about.
Yeah, I'm Charles Carralt.
Another wife.
No.
Yeah. Another wife and kids. Time for the show.
American Idol's down to the final four after 135 million votes over the past 2 weeks. They combined the 2 weeks' votings and then kicked off two people last night. Phil Stacey, the guy who looks like Nosferatu, the vampire, and Chris Richardson, the Justin Lake wannabe, got booted off the show last night. So it's down to the final four. Jordan Sparks, Lakeisha Jones, Melinda Doolittle, and Blake Lewis, the only guy in the mix.
Next those week, were the right two to send home, don't you think, Ralph?
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah.
Next week, Barry Gibb is going to be the mentor of the Bee Gees.
He's still alive.
Yes. They're all going to crawl inside his hair and live there for a month. They're going to put a camera in there.
Is that why they did the Stayin' Alive thing last week? To grease
that? I don't know.
Oh, isn't that him?
Yeah.
It is. Yeah, sure. The Bee Gees did that originally, yeah.
That must have been.
Kevin, you'll be happy to know that next week's competition will perform, everyone will be performing Boogie Songs is the theme. Boogie Songs.
Boogie Songs.
Yeah.
Wow, you guys blow for watching that. Boogie
Get
Songs.
Down Boogie Oogie Oogie. Hope that's one of them.
God.
More
Crash
more
star
guys.
Jennifer
Go ahead, sorry. You.
Crash star Jennifer Esposito has made it through marriage number one in record time. She's filed for divorce from her husband of just 4 months,
oh.
Alias, and Wedding Crashers co-star Bradley Cooper.
Oh, no
you may
kidding.
Remember Jennifer?
Yeah, I didn't know she
months.
Married him.
Yeah, you may remember Jennifer from Spin City also. She mm-hmm. was in Crash, and they were married for 4 months. They've called it off. TMZ.com's got the story. They say the two have irreconcilable differences. How do you find that out in 4 months?
Why don't you find that out ahead of time is a better question. 4 months.
Doesn't even give you time to get to know each other, let alone find out you have irreconcilable differences.
Yeah, that's not
actually,
trying.
Actually, Bradley's representatives are saying they've been separated for quite a while. They've been married for 4 months. Speaking of marriages, Pamela Anderson, if you believe the London Mirror tabloid, is back together with former husband Tommy Lee. In fact, he bought her a new home in Dubai, they claim.
Wow.
Now, a competing tabloid, OK Magazine, says Pamela Anderson is quietly dating San Diego Chargers star David Binn. And they took a trip to Russia together recently, so I don't know what to think.
I'll tell you what to think.
I like meat.
I saw Tommy at Coachella, and yeah, he was surrounded by
course,
hot chicks.
Of course.
Super
Did you ask
chicks.
Him what's up with Pam?
No, I didn't think of that, no.
Nice work, reporter.
I know, I was a little tipsy at that point.
And Kirsten Dunst is even more disgusting than previous.
Oh. How's that possible?
Have you seen the latest photos of her with the disgusting foot rash she's got going on?
Yeah.
Yeah, what's that all about?
They're all over the internet. A closer look at her feet shows some sort of bright red dots. It looks like a rash or broken blood vessels or spider veins.
Ugh. It'd be funny if they're spider veins, yeah. Good.
Yeah.
Good.
Excellent. My guess, hoof and mouth disease. And Eddie Murphy, he's going to get dragged into court. His former girlfriend, Spice Girl Melanie B, says she's fed up with him dodging her request to identify whether he is her daughter's father or not. So he is going to get a court order to take a DNA test and sign the birth certificate.
Is there a problem, officer?
Gary Spice says that her people have contacted his people, and it's going to come down to a court battle. And he hasn't even seen little angel Iris Murphy Brown yet.
Aww.
Murphy Brown.
Murphy Brown.
Well, you know, it's kind of a dick move if you're dating somebody and then they get pregnant and say you're the father to not at least get a DNA test or acknowledge it or try to find out some way to, you know, submit yourself to find out whether you are indeed the father so you know whether you have to ignore the kid and move on.
Yeah, check in, at least.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a lot of checking
Oscar
in for some people. A lot of checking in. Know what
Jennifer
I'm saying?
Hudson. Who...
Don't know what that means.
If you're Eddie Murphy, that's not, I'm guessing that's not the only chick that's saying that, so you probably...
Yeah, but I mean, this was a girlfriend. This is somebody he dated for long, Ralph? I mean, 6 months, a year, something like that?
Yeah,
I mean, a significant amount of time.
And what's one more kid? Yeah. He's got like 5 or 6 already.
Yeah.
This wasn't a one-night stand, you know.
Yeah.
Right.
His co-star Jennifer Hudson is reportedly the favorite to play Aretha Franklin in a new Broadway musical about the Queen of Soul. Several sources have said that Aretha herself wants Jennifer to portray her as a young woman in the musical, which will be based on Aretha Franklin's autobiography. Apparently, auditions are going on this week in Detroit, and that's where the musical is going to premiere in March of 2008. So we got that to look forward
Obesity,
to.
Obesity, adiposity, corpulence. Whatever word you use, it represents one thing. Being a big fat ass.
Right. You know, yeah, Jennifer Hudson is almost fat enough to be a lesbian, when you think about it.
Not quite, though.
Yet not fat enough to be Aretha Franklin.
That's correct.
That's a good point.
And, Bean, you have to be excited. Members of the Weird Al Star Fund are
yes?
raising money to help Weird Al Yankovic get his star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame.
Now, I understood that the money had already been raised. They already have it in the bank, ready to go. They're just trying to get his star approved. Is there an update?
Ralph Bean has information on that story already. Does that surprise you?
No, it doesn't. But according to this story, they only have $17,300 of the $25,000 necessary to buy the star. So,
maybe they've upped how much it costs now or something. But Weird Al, by the way, I think we all agree deserves a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame.
Oh yeah,
sure.
I think you should put your money where your mouth is, Bean.
That's right.
I am happy to
cough up the other $12,000 they need.
Well, I don't know that I need to pay for all of it, but I'm certainly happy to make a donation.
And now the great Weird.
A used pink bathrobe, a rare mint snow globe, a Smurf TV tray I bought on eBay.
There you go.
Sweet.
Weird Al.
Weird Al's people should ask money for the star from Kelly Ripa. She's trying to sign a new contract with Live, which will be worth $60 million.
Oh, man.
In Touch magazine says amongst that 60 mil, she wants a bigger clothing allowance for the show.
Mm-hmm.
She wants some participation in the ad revenue on the show. And she wants a say in who replaces Regis when he finally dies in a couple weeks. Or retires, whichever comes first. If she signs this deal, it'll keep her on the show through 2013 and make her about $60 million richer.
How about that? She is she's very good on that show. For the kind of show they do, she is a perfect co-host.
But $60 million, she sits there and drinks coffee and laughs at him.
Well, I suspect as many things, it's probably a little harder than it looks. But, you know, I think she's a big part of the reason for the success of that program.
Okay, Ralph B.
Lisa has to sit there and laugh at you two. She works a lot harder than Kelly Ripa does.
She gets $60 million, too.
No, I don't really get that.
Oh, you don't?
No.
Oh.
I don't really get $10.
If Kelly gets $60, at least she should get $120 million.
Yes,
well,
I agree.
I got no problem with that either.
Got to put up with both of you. Today's celebrity birthdays, actor Dule Hill from The West Wing, of course, and he's also on, Psych over there on TBS? Yes. Very funny show. He is 32 years old today. Sports announcer Greg Gumbel, brother of Bryant, is 61 years old today. The second whitest black man in the world after Bryant. Greg is 61. And actress Anne B. Davis. Remember Alice from the Brady Bunch?
Sure.
She's 81 years old today.
Yeah.
And she's a lesbian. Allegedly.
That's true.
Is that what you call fat
really?
Now? Is
that how we say
it? No, that really is. She really is.
No, she really is. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Oh, you know, we got guys here. Guys here from... from Washington, D.C., and you know there's a big scandal going on down in Washington, D.C., with a big prostitution ring scandal down, and the politicians were actually paying for sex. Yep. Listen to this. One girl got paid with a military base in her home state.
Well, that doesn't seem like what she was there for, but it's Kevin Bean Show at K-Rock. I love this story of the D.C. madam, and I guess it's about to be broken wide, wide open tomorrow night, no pun intended, on ABC's 2020. She is Jean Palfy, and she is giving an exclusive interview with 2020 tomorrow night, and she basically is saying, they're accusing her of running a prostitution ring in the nation's capital. She's basically saying, I'm not going to go to jail for a day, and I'm not at all worried about, you know, bringing anybody else down. I'm going to call every single one of my clients to the stand and have them testify that there was no sex. That's her claim, is that, I was busted for running a prostitution ring, but there was no sex. It's just high-end fantasy.
She has 10 to 15,000 client phone numbers.
Oh, my God. Yeah!
And already a guy who used to be the Deputy Secretary of State has stepped down from his post based on this whole thing, on
this
woman.
Didn't even bother to fight it.
He said that he's not guilty and that they were just coming over to give him a massage, nothing else.
Sure. Sure.
And he stepped down. He was also the director of U.S. Foreign Assistance and an administrator of the U.S. Agency for International Development. He would give people money to combat AIDS as long as they promised to shut down prostitution.
Oh, that's a beautiful thing right
so
there.
So that's good news right there. And there are all kinds of people, including lawyers now, calling this woman saying, my client on the list? something we can do to keep that quiet?
You know, Heroes was ahead of the curve this season with Are You on the List? Remember, that was their big campaign. That's what they're asking in D.C. right now. So we thought we'd find out, because apparently Washington, D.C. is just, they're just a Twitter with finding out what's going to happen next. I mean, what prominent people in the government are going to be involved in this? And we thought, who better to go to than the man who runs that town? And, of course, we're talking about Vice President Dick Cheney.
Sing it if you know it. Good morning, Mr. Vice President.
Hello, Dick.
Hello.
Oh, sorry about that.
Yes, Mr. Cheney. Good morning. How are you, sir? Thank you for joining us.
What the hell kind of show you running over there?
A bad one.
Well, Mr. Vice President, I was...
I need to pick up a goddamn phone.
Well, we apologize. We've got some special ed kids working here. I think you understand what I'm talking about, Mr. Vice President. I was saying when we brought you on that you really are the man who runs Washington. And if anyone knows what's going on in that town, sir, I honestly believe it's you. What's your initial reaction when you heard that the D.C. madam had been arrested?
I think you're out of line with that question.
Okay. Well... We can't ask you what you think about the D.C. madam?
So?
I mean, are you worried that this scandal is going to involve a lot of people that may be high up in the Bush administration? It doesn't seem like this would be a good time, maybe, for this kind of trouble for you guys.
No, we're not concerned. Ms. Julia was just a woman who would provide women to keep us company.
Uh-huh.
That's all.
This is the woman that in 1992 served 18 months in the prison for being a pimp? That woman?
Well, first of all, it's hard out there for a pimp.
That's true. I've heard that, yes.
But there was nothing illegal going on, just a lot of massaging.
Sure.
And sensitive conversations.
Sensitive?
Yes, about things that are sensitive.
I think I know what that means.
She uses the name Miss Julia. That's her nom de plume. And she is saying the same thing you are, Mr. Vice President, which is if there was any sex going on, it's not at all what the girls were hired for. That's something they worked out on their own, and I don't know anything about it and don't have anything to do with it. You're saying the same thing.
That's what you have to realize is that a lot of these so-called people on this so-called list are Republicans.
Oh, okay.
And frankly... we're all crazy about Bush.
Right?
In every possible way.
Now, Mr. Vice President, are you on this list?
I think you're out of line with that question.
Well, given what we're talking about.
10 to 15,000 people in the Washington, D.C. area and a lot of politicians. I don't know. It just seems like you're a politician in that area.
Listen, let me tell you something.
All right.
I've had 27 heart attacks in the past 6 months.
Right. Good point.
Doctors have told me if I even get an erection, I'll explode.
Okay. So not you.
Right.
Okay.
I'm not on that list.
All right.
Let me ask you this. And when Randall Tobias, the guy we're talking about for the State Department, when he resigned, he said, oh, I just had girls come over for massages. Who's paying $300 an hour for somebody to come over and just give them a massage? It seems like it's likely there was something else going on that this 65-year-old married father of four didn't really want to admit to. Isn't he just covering his ass? Does anyone really believe there's no sex happening in this ring?
Have you ever seen Randall Tobias?
No.
No.
He's freaking ugly.
That's why he might need a young woman to come over, a young escort, though.
I'm surprised it wouldn't cost $3,000 to get a massage.
By the way, there was also another guy who she has claimed has done it. His name is Harlan Oldman, and he's an academic whose claim to fame was writing a paper 10 years ago known as Shock and Awe on Military Strategies.
Mm-hmm.
So that's funny.
Yeah, Ms. Julia's girls used to offer the shock and awe, too.
Is that right?
Involved a latex glove and some Vaseline.
Oh. But no sex.
Shock and you go, ah.
Ms. Julia says sometimes clients would be contacted just to be a date to go to dinner or to the Kennedy Center for an evening. And
yeah,
again, it just...
perverts.
Well, I'm just saying I don't believe it. That's what I'm saying.
Dinner? Are you anti-dinner?
No, but $300 an hour seems like a lot for a dinner partner.
Listen. That Edwards got his haircut for $400, for Christ's sake.
That's true. That's a good point.
At least this one, you know, you get more than just the hair down your collar when you throw over.
So you're saying tomorrow night when 2020 does this story, your name will not come up?
No way.
What about President Bush?
Oh, yeah. He had them all. Have you seen Laura?
No.
Yes, we have. Speaking of Peter, Bjorn, and John, we did a runaway successful game show yesterday called Kevin and Bean Whistle the Hits.
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
So good. And that's what the first Afro call is about. 323-520-AFRO is the phone number.
Hey, guys, I've got a great idea for the hardest game in the world.
Dude, let's whistle the hits and then play them backwards.
Dude, we got one out of eight when we whistled them forwards.
I know, but that's why it would be the hardest game of the world.
People always call us on the road.
Kevin and Bean, I just saw the most scariest thing there is right now. Okay. I saw an Asian driver.
How dare you?
Oh, that's frightening.
Everybody knows the most scariest thing in the world is an old driver. I am about to take my own life with the old drivers out there.
Really?
I just am. They're just slow and bad.
It's dangerous.
They're bad, but at least they make up for it by being slow. And that's
I was
good.
On a road just yesterday on a straight highway on a beautiful sunny day with no reason for caution. Speed limit was 50, and I was behind one of those guys who can barely see, a little tiny old man who can barely see over the steering wheel. He was going 32, and I was behind him for... I don't know, 4 or 5 miles on this road with no way to get around.
I hope you did the right thing and wake him up by bumping him. No?
32 in a 50 for 4 miles on a straight road, though. Is that something else?
Take my life.
Yep. That was funny.
I don't know what that guy was calling about, but it's hard to imagine. Really?
Yeah, there's nothing I can think of.
Let's think it back over the last couple of
days. Well, he was listening to Big Boy, but accidentally dialed us.
These are the commercials that Bean and I did that were edited. This is the first one that we did, a parody of You're Killing Me.
Also, 30 Seconds to Mars.
I'm 30 Seconds to Bankruptcy.
Oh, shut up. Tickets go on sale Saturday at noon. We've got more you can win tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show.
KROQ.
Well, that was the original, and then they decided that that wasn't good because of the Virginia Tech shooting, so they changed it to this. Our own station did this.
30 Seconds to Bankruptcy.
Oh, shut up. So, not killing me, Larry, as much as knocking me down, Larry.
You're punching me, Larry.
Never thought I'd see the day, but K-Rock is becoming the man. Can't believe it. You nappy-headed hoes. Oh, wait, did that offensive one?
Hey.
K-Rock, goddamn it.
Nope,
that
take
offensive
it
one again? You guys are just killing me. I'm sorry.
That's gotten about offensive. That point.
So I was in the office yesterday for about an hour talking about that, and our boss said, which one of you said Kevin goddammit? I said, Eric Cartman. What is wrong with you? Freaking boss.
American Idol is gay. Bean, you're gay. Ralph, you're gay. Kevin, keep up the good work.
Oh, wow.
Short. First time those words have ever been spoken.
It's the other guy that's not watching.
Yeah.
You don't get to be happy when Jordan Sparks becomes the next American Idol and Ralph and I become very happy then.
That'll really hurt me.
That's a burn, huh?
I don't know how I'm going to take that. So it looks like we've tried pretty much everything on TV.
We have officially run out of ideas. Friday night, new game show, Bingo! Are you freaking kidding me? Bingo is the new game show on ABC. That's right. People in the audience sit around with their cards waiting for their number to come up. Freaking Bingo.
Yeah, I saw those commercials.
Lightning,
really?
We're asking you now. We'd like to talk to the brain trust behind the Bingo night that starts tomorrow night on ABC. We'd like to get them on, just like we did with Dancing with the Stars, and tell them how it'll never be a hit.
When we close that down.
Right.
Hello, Psycho Mike. This is Tiger Lily. I was calling you to confirm your strap-on session, because I know how much you want to learn. Thank you.
Another confirmation. Man.
I'd like to supersize that order.
Rockin' tackle! Sombrero!
Laughing about Rockin' Taco.
Oh, I gotta go there.
The best client we've ever had. The commercials are questionable, but the best client we've ever had. Fantastic food. Here's a very, very happy K-Rock listener this time of year.
Oh, my God. What do you have to do to get freaking Winnie Rose tickets? I mean, seriously. All it is busy all day long, and when they do answer the phone, they tell you you have to call back. I will drink a gallon of freaking water, just like that crazy lady, and die.
Fantastic.
And you know what? I'll be happy, because I died knowing I got tickets.
All right. We'll have that contest. Thank you.
You know, we get a lot of phone calls, a lot of emails asking, how can I win Winnie Rose tickets? And it's not a secret. It's not like there's something we're not telling you. We actually give them away for free to you on the air.
Yeah.
It's completely transparent.
I understand it can be frustrating for people that call a lot, but...
Yeah, but we've only been doing it for 3 days.
You still have a week and a half.
Yeah.
And they go on sale Saturday
at
noon.
Exactly.
So you have that. Usually Jed has our phone numbers, so he calls us, but not yesterday.
This is Jed the Fish, 106.7. Yeah. I have a question for assistant producer Alex. What if your name was Super Asshore? Care Q.
That's good, not question. Bad. Jed, what do you think about that impression?
I remember carpooling with Alex and Tammy Heidi to Coachella in 99, and we stopped in Pahrump to fillet some boys for beer money.
Oh, you did not.
Jed.
Caracal.
Right now, Ralph's got the showbiz beat at 6:51. Good morning, Ralph.
What's Mr. Ariano's first name?
Gustavo.
Oh.
What's wrong with that?
Gustavo.
Sorry. Nice. I dropped right. the ball.
Yes, you did. You didn't even catch it.
You're right.
Bounced right off your face mask on your helmet.
Oh, that's I lost it in the sun, man. Not my fault.
I got you. Time magazine has released their list of 100 people who shape the world. These are the influential newsmakers who make up the world we live in. It's on newsstands tomorrow. And you'll find Queen Elizabeth, presidential hopefuls Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama, YouTube founders Steve Chen and Chad Hurley, a lot of people, including some entertainers. And the funniest part about this list of 100 people who shaped the world,
right?
President Bush not on it.
Yep.
Well, that's just ridiculous.
Well, you're not on it.
Is Dick Cheney on it?
Dick Cheney.
Yeah.
Sorry, a little slow. Thinking if you know it.
Actually, it doesn't say here, at least the entire list. It just gives us highlights, but it doesn't mention Mr. Cheney.
Okay.
But clearly, Justin Timberlake and Tina Fey influenced the world more than George Bush, right, Ralph?
Absolutely. They made the list, Bean. You're exactly right. Other entertainers who made the cut were Oprah Winfrey.
Yeah.
George Clooney.
Sure.
Brad Pitt.
Mm-hmm.
Tyra Banks.
Oh, my God.
Oh, for God's
for putting
sake.
Because
she put on a fat suit.
Hey, she is fighting for all the fat girls out there that can just kiss her fat ass. Cate Blanchett. America Ferrara.
What?
John Mayer. Michael J. Fox. Our own Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger. American Idol creator Simon Fuller. Rosie O'Donnell.
Oh.
And Sacha Baron Cohen.
I love it.
Also on the list, Leonardo DiCaprio.
Why?
I think that's pretty valid. Okay. He's a pretty strong activist in terms of global health.
Okay.
But I'm going to say that's an intentional snub if the president is not on that list. That's somebody with an agenda.
Well, yeah, and you could argue that it's
crazy.
You could argue that it's a bad influence, but he's certainly influenced.
Certainly has an influence. Yeah, but that's embarrassing.
You think? I wonder if it's because he's a lame duck that they list the presidential hopefuls for the upcoming election and not him so much.
Could be.
But also,
do you think maybe it's just a case of it goes without saying? Kind of, you know, and why even waste a spot on the list? Because
if you're going to put the queen on, clearly you're not ruling out heads of state. You know, I mean, if she's included, he should be included.
Oh, the queen. I would get shot if I could meet the queen.
I hate
Thank
that.
You, Ralph. I'm right there with you, buddy.
I hate that bitch.
I would like it to be a bullet to the head, but still. Speaking of Leonardo DiCaprio, he has got his own environmental documentary that he's made. It will be debuting at the Cannes Film Festival this year.
Slideshow?
It's called The 11th Hour. I believe it's more than just slides. Daily Variety says that Warner Brothers has just picked it up to distribute the film in theaters sometime this fall, but it will be seen for the first time at the Cannes Film Festival. Leo narrates it, and he also put it together, and it features interviews with scientists and world leaders like Mikhail Gorbachev and Stephen Hawking talking about the state of the global environment and how we are close to the tipping point if we don't do something about it soon.
I want to speak for many of our listeners tuned in right now to say to Leo, just shut up and act. We don't care what you think about anything. We just want you to be pretty.
Oh, how are you going to come at Leo like that?
He was on the cover of, was it Vanity Fair recently?
Vanity Fair, yeah.
Their green issue?
Yeah.
He's so hot.
Okay, easy.
Good news for Pearl Jam fans. They're going to have a new live box set out this summer. Does anyone have more live albums than Pearl Jam?
No.
I don't think they do. They release, for folks who don't know, they release every single concert that they do is available for purchase on CD or download after the show.
This is a collection of performances of all the concerts they played over the last 2 years at the Gorge Amphitheater in Washington State.
Oh, cool.
It's a 7-CD set called Live at the Gorge 0506, and there are 76 different live Pearl Jam songs you can pick up.
I'm sorry, so I thought you said 76.
I did indeed say 76.
Okay. That's they kind of consider that their hometown theater. That's the big outdoor amphitheater that they play, you know, usually 4 or 5 nights a year at. And they sometimes will play covers that they haven't played anywhere else before, just kind of as a treat for their hometown fans. So that could be a good box set if you're a PJ fan.
By the way, we have tickets today that we're going to give away for the show on Saturday night, the Hullabalooza. What is it called?
Hullabalooza.
Hullaback.
Yeah.
Eddie Vedder is there, Red Hot Chili Peppers, and more. So we'll give those away tickets a little bit later today.
The box set, by the way, drops on June 26th if you're looking to pick it up. Or if you're a member of the Pearl Jam 10 Club, their fan club, you can pre-order a limited special edition of the set now. So if you're a Pearl Jam fan, thought you might want to know.
Sure.
Last night on American Idol, they took 2 contestants off the board because they didn't boot anybody last week. It was that charity show where they raised $70 million. So they took the votes from that week, combined them with the votes from this week, and the giant goonie bald dude, Phil, was given the boot, as was Chris Richardson, who the little girls like, but not enough to keep him on, apparently.
Kevin, you're so right that this one-hour elimination show is the most painful hour on television because it's 59 and a half minutes of filler. And last night, Ralph, please tell me you saw the show. Did you see American Idol last night?
I'm sorry, I didn't. I was traveling.
Last night, part of the filler was, hey, let's spend 15 minutes showing clips from last week's show. Remember how great it was.
Oh, no.
Here's my favorite thing. You guys watch every Wednesday night, and you come in Thursday livid about what a waste of time it was.
That is accurate, yes.
But you got to watch to see who gets booted.
Okay, so tape it and fast forward through all the 59 and a half minutes.
Oh, dude, I have to know when it happens.
Oh, for God's sake.
And they do have performances, like last night Bon Jovi did their new song.
Wow.
You know, so you want to see some of that stuff.
No, but you don't.
It was just like, hey, remember all those big stars that were on last week? And then they just did a clip package of all the stars. You're just sitting there just watching your life just go down the drain.
Did they do the Staying Alive montage?
They didn't do it. Well, they did a clip of that, just a little piece of that, yeah.
I love Lamp. I love Lamp.
Okay.
Right. I love Lamp, too.
Coming up.
Actress Sandra Bullock has now asked for a restraining order against that nutty broad who tried to run over her husband 5 times.
I should think so.
I guess so.
She's so sensitive. Oh, lighten up, Sandra. Just because a girl tries to run your husband over with her Mercedes doesn't mean you have to get a restraining order. Apparently, Sandra says the incident is merely the latest attempt from this Marsha Valentine to disrupt their home, claiming she's also trespassed several times on their property and sometimes will just toss garbage on their lawn.
Toss garbage on their lawn.
Yeah.
If I can't have him, you get this paper towel.
Garbage is usually consists of DVD copies of The Lake House.
Oh!
Boy, that stink up the lawn.
Cool.
Yeah.
Hey, there was a magic mailbox, Ralph. Come on.
Oh, you're right. My bad. I didn't realize. And Kevin will be happy to know there's a new Beatles single in the works.
There can't be a new Beatles single in the works.
More Beatles music for you to love and cherish, Kevin. Apparently, Paul McCartney and Ringo Starr have completed a song called Now and Then that started out as a demo that John Lennon started working on back in the day when he was still breathing. And then George Harrison worked on it with them as well. It was going to be part of the new material for the anthology series, but George apparently didn't care for the song, so it was never finished. But Paul and Ringo have decided to go back into the studio and finish it up and release it as a brand new Beatles song.
So it sounds to me like George Harrison had some sort of standards, realized it sucked, so the other guys just waited till he died so they could put it out and make some more money.
Yeah, it's funny, then when Paul's on the verge of giving up half his fortune in a divorce settlement, suddenly he decided there needs to be new Beatle
music.
Song,
new song, new song!
What do we have in the garbage can that we can release? I need some more pot money.
Dude smokes so much pot. And, you know Michael Vartan from Alias?
Certainly.
He and Lisa may have a lot in common.
Why is that?
Oh, really?
Because he considers himself sort of a martial arts dude.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Okay. In Touch magazine reports that he lost a dare from his friends that he could break a block of ice with his bare hands and ended up with torn ligaments in his hand.
That's funny.
Breaking a block of ice seems stupid.
Not if you're good.
It's like a big chocolate bar or something. That'd be dumb.
That's harder.
Lisa tried to break a chocolate bar in our office.
That was still wrapped up. Let us not forget.
Paper.
A 10-pound chocolate bar.
It was the paper
bar
that got in the way. You're right. My bad.
Still wrapped. And that slippery, thick paper.
Guys, I could wait out a block of ice. I don't need to try to break it with my hand.
Just sit on it.
You could wait out a block of stone.
Today's celebrity birthdays, actress Ann B. Davis. She was Alice on the Brady Bunch for many years. 81 years old today. No? Oh, yeah. She got great.
Oh,
kids.
Oh, really? I didn't realize. Okay. My bad.
Sports announcer Greg Gumbel, brother of sports announcer Bryant Gumbel. And, of course, he was on the Today Show for many years. He is 61 years old today. That was Bryant, not Greg, who was on the Today Show before people started emailing. And Dulé Hill from The West Wing and from Psych over there on TBS. It's, you ever watch that show? It's really good.
I haven't. No, I loved him on West Wing. No, I didn't see Psych.
Very entertaining. He's 32 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
A Boston University study looked at a 2002 national survey of almost 6,000 women and found lesbians were about 2.5 times more likely to be both overweight and outright obese than heterosexuals. Those numbers put them at a higher risk for diabetes, heart disease, among other ailments.
Mm. Fat, 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 fat.
Now, we were talking about this briefly at the end of the show as to why this could be the case. And Lisa May, you had a little bit of a theory.
Well, I think that women in general are less involved with the appearance of someone and more into who they are, what they're like. Because obviously, you see a lot of hot women dating men that aren't really that great looking. They might be overweight, but they have a good sense of humor and they're nice people. So they just aren't as visually focused as men are. Women are with women, you know, there's just not that pressure to look great the way that women feel for men when they're straight.
Who they are is important?
Yeah.
Oh. What's on the inside matters?
It does. Wow. To women.
But
fat.
Isn't it possible that they don't, well, I mean, I guess I'm saying the same thing. They don't need to be thin if they're not trying to get a man. That's what essentially what you're saying is you can let yourself go a little bit because a woman, it's not that high a priority.
Right. But I would your think, partner I would isn't think... going to be that judgmental. Isn't going to leave you for someone who's thinner and hotter.
Psycho Mike.
Yeah.
Now, Ralph's got a lot of experience with the lesbians. Ralph, what's your take on this? When you heard this shocking new data, what did you think?
Yeah, I think a lot part of it too is that the culture in the for the hardcore lesbians, I'm talking your good old fashioned bull dykes,
right?
They like being sort of burly and manly. So the thicker a body, I think, the better off for them too.
I have one thing to say to you: kiss my fat ass.
You're such a fat ass. And when you walk down the street, people go, God damn it, that's a big fat ass.
I mean, petite and slender and feminine isn't really a goal for a lot of lesbians.
Should be, though, right?
Sure. I mean, do we really care if the fat lesbians are the one getting sick and dying? Seriously?
Come on. Yes.
Why?
Right?
It's survival of the fittest, man. It's got, you know, thin in the herd.
I'd like to take calls because I don't have any theories. I think this study is completely false, and I think all people are equally hot.
What?
I had a meeting that's yesterday
what,
with the
that's
boss.
Certainly what Kevin thinks. Oh, is that what they're telling me? Because words get hurt.
I've been told that that's what that's
Who
what
says older and fat people are equally sexually attractive as young thin people. That's what Kevin believes.
That is what
we have learned that from Kevin over the years.
Yes.
So we're looking for predominantly we'd like to hear from lesbians, especially if you're fat, but I think we'll take theories from anybody at 1-800-520-1067. Let me throw this one out there, as crazy as it might sound. Is it possible that a girl grows up and she's 17 and she's 200 pounds and then she's 20 and she's 250 and then she's 25 and she's 300 and she goes, I'm never going to get a man. I'll just turn gay. She's not even a lesbian, but she becomes a lesbian because she's fat.
No.
I don't think that's the case.
That's Bean at KRock.com.
I'm asking. I'm not saying that's the case. I'm just asking, is it possible?
No.
I don't think fat people are just choosing their sexuality, Bean.
Hey, fatty, you are fat.
You know, Ralph, conversely, I bet if you did a study, you'd find that gay men are likely to be 2-to-1 better in shape than heterosexual men.
That could because be. They've got to appeal to somebody to whom that's the top priority of what they're looking for in a mate.
Let's
that's
ask right. our gay expert, Psycho Mike. Is that true?
Yeah, I mean, it's part of the culture, dude. You just got to be ripped.
All right, I got you.
Just got to be ripped. No, but what I'm saying is you would eat a food that you wouldn't ordinarily like if it's the only food around. If it's the only food you had access to, that's what you'd settle for. And I'm saying maybe that's the case with the fat chicks is they have to go with whatever they can get and what they can get as a woman. That's what I'm suggesting.
But I'm saying you're wrong.
That you're an idiot, first of all. And second
well,
of all,
I don't think that.
Wouldn't the case be then all these great-looking gay guys who are ripped up and handsome like Psycho Mike, wouldn't they be attracted and attractive to women, so they'd have a great shot of getting a woman, but yet they still choose to be gay if it was a matter of choice?
I don't know that anyone's choosing, but I do think it's probably easier for women to choose than it is for men. I don't think it's possible for men to just choose to go with men.
But I don't think they choose because there's nothing else out there.
I don't either.
I don't think that's how choices are.
Women are better.
That's what I'm saying. I don't think anyone is choosing. I'm saying Bean thinks that because a woman is fat, she might just choose to be with other women, but I'm saying gay guys who look so great, who are appealing to women, you know, they wouldn't be forced in that situation, and yet they're still gay. So obviously, it's not about choice.
Yeah, and it's just the bottom line is that men are definitely more visually stimulated. I mean, they're more consumed with their partner's physical appearance. And,
right.
and listen,
what do women like to do more than anything?
Eat. Talk.
And eat on the couch.
That's true.
Eat and talk. So if you got two women in a relationship, what are they doing on a Saturday night? They're sitting at home with chocolate chip cookie dough and a spoon. Talking about God knows what.
All right, we have some calls. We don't really know. Bean has theories. Ralph has theories. Lisa has theories. I think all people look equally beautiful.
That's certainly what you're famous for. And again, right. If you're just joining us, I mean, it's not just a tiny difference. I mean, it's 2.5 times more likely to be both overweight and outright obese than heterosexuals. That almost suggests that there must be some relationship between the lesbianism and the obesity. It almost seems like it's too much of a coincidence that figure would bear itself out.
Well, they do eat a lot of pie, you know.
Oh!
No, I'm talking about like Marie Callender's and that kind of stuff. You always see lesbians in there.
And fish is high in calories.
Oh, let's talk to Joe in Irvine.
Not really.
What are you talking about?
I'm talking about fish.
Right, and it's not high in calories. Oh, it's one of the best things you can eat.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
No, it's famously high in calories.
You didn't really think that one through when you were trying to top Ralph's joke, did you?
Joe in Irvine, good morning.
Good morning.
You have a theory. What's your theory?
My theory is that actually they have more testosterone. You ever see the facial hair in a lot of bull dykes and arm hair and just the big stocky build? That's not a choice to be thin. They can't be just thin.
Well, they should be thinner than if they have a lot of testosterone.
Yeah, you do.
Because that's more muscle.
The higher testosterone level
keeps you thin.
The higher testosterone level, the more apt you are to be thin. That's why men are naturally thinner, have less body fat than women, you douche.
If you're seeing more facial hair, it's because they don't bother to get rid of it like straight girls do.
Well, certainly I think we can all agree they should.
No.
Right?
They're 2.5 times more likely to be hairy.
Facial hair, Lisa, you're...
I'm just saying some people
You can't
are,
be judgmental about anyone, can you?
All right, guys, things are looking up. What about 18-year-old Kim, who is a lesbian, on the line from Tarzana right now? What about that?
Kim?
Hey, Kim, take your time, baby. We got all day.
Well, basically, my theory is that I think that the bull dyke type of thing, it makes you want to be bigger, more bull-ish. And I personally like that. I'm a bull dyke, but I don't like skinny girls.
You don't sound like it.
I don't.
No. So you're saying that if you want to be that way, you look, that's a positive for you.
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, like, obese is a little different, obviously, like you guys were saying. But, I think, like, being sick, I think that's the word.
I'm just guessing here. I'm thinking Kim, three bills. Anyone?
Three bills.
No.
Not at 18 years old, she's not. Ralph? There's no way.
No.
Kim?
I think Kim is a svelte 160. That's what I'm going to say.
Kim?
162.
There you go.
There you
Ladies
go.
And gentlemen. Bean's right. I can read a lesbian. You know what I'm saying?
Give Bean a Cupid doll.
Thank you for the call. 1-800-520-1067. Let's go to Frito in Cyprus. Maybe Frito's got something. First of all,
Frito.
I love your snack chips.
Frito, what's your theory on this? Because frankly, we're baffled.
Hello, Frito.
Yes, Frito.
Oh, is this me?
Yeah. I don't know. Is your name Frito?
Is your name Frito?
Oh, I'm sorry. This is Ruffles. I'm sorry.
Frito.
Okay, Frito. How could you ever have known we were coming to you? All right.
We apologize.
What's your theory?
All right. Well, it's not my theory. It's like, my sister's a lesbian, right?
Mm-hmm.
And she's one of the feminine ones, and she likes the feminine chicks. But she always ends up with these dykey-looking ones, these butch ones that look like the Brooklyn Brawler, you know?
But wait a minute. You just said she likes feminine chicks.
Yeah, she likes them. Like, I've been to clubs with her where I don't have to worry about picking up to lesbian clubs.
Right.
And, but she ends up, like, hooking up or being, like, in long-term relationships with these chicks that look like the Brooklyn Brawler.
Well, why do you think that is if she likes skinny chicks?
I don't know. Maybe they just, and you know what? They're fat as well.
I think it goes back to the theory that appearance, although she likes the thinner women, in the end, appearance isn't the main thing.
But you know, it's funny because we'll be walking in the mall or something, and then there'll be a hot chick, and she'll just be like, ooh, look at that bitch. I mean, she's worse than I am. I'll be like, oh, look at that girl, she's hot. And she'll be like, nah, look at that bitch, she looks good. I was like, damn.
Yeah. It's well, weird to go out shopping for chicks in a mall with your sister, but okay.
Yeah,
thank
right?
you, Fredo.
Yeah.
All right, bye. I'm pretty sure none of the calls have helped us yet. How do you guys feel?
I heard you say Fredo, but my name is Fredo, so I didn't think you could possibly be talking to me. You can understand why I was confused, Kevin Abid.
All right, we have a bunch more calls on hold and a lot of theories, but I think they're all false. I think lesbians are beautiful the way they are.
No one's saying
Bean
otherwise.
Says they're 2.5 times as likely to be fat. So
that's Boston not, University said
right,
that.
Right, Boston yeah. University.
Thank you.
Right. Yeah. I'm sorry. I'm confused from the meeting yesterday. All right, 1-800-520-1067 is the number. We'll take the rest of your calls.
Here's the topic on the table. We only have a couple of minutes to burn through some of these theories, but a new study came out from Boston University that says, according to their empirical data of thousands and thousands of American women, that lesbians are 2.5 times more likely to be overweight and even obese than their heterosexual counterparts. What's the deal with that? That's what we want to know. 1-800-520-1067. Why don't we start with Lindsay? She's calling us from La Habra, and she has a theory that's at least worth thinking about here. Lindsay, you're on the Kevin Bean Chunky Rock. Go ahead.
All right, so this is what I think. I think that because women are more emotionally, like, needy than, like, men are,
right.
I say that they're actually, it's kind of the whole nature versus nurture thing argument, that there actually are more lesbians that end up choosing to be lesbians. I think part of that has to do with the fact that they probably have never gotten an emotional, like, have been reached out to emotionally by males, but the fact that they're reached out to emotionally by women, the fact that they crave that, I think makes them more likely to search that.
So it's not just that they can't get men, it's that they don't get any emotional connection with men and they do with women.
Yeah, because I know a lot of girls that actually know some lesbians that you're talking about that are like under or overweight,
right?
And because they've had a lack of confidence, they don't feel comfortable and they don't feel like they can, because they just feel like they're like, I'm almost afraid to, over the years or whatever, that because it's just like a self-esteem issue. They feel more comfortable with women because
I got you.
Understand that, you know.
I got you.
Do you think these do you think these lesbians, though, if they suddenly dropped a ton of weight, if they got on Jenny Craig or something, then all of a sudden would want to start dating guys?
Probably not, because once you get that emotional, it's like, once you establish that with somebody, then that's what you're used to, and that's what they'll stay with.
Plus, women are just better, right? I mean, that's a given. Thanks for the call.
You know what they say, once you go vag, you never go back.
Never heard that.
Mara writes, and I think the reason a lot of lesbians are overweight is because as early as high school, they try to avoid attention from boys, and being fat is a way to do that. Then when they become comfortable in their own skin and with their sexuality, well, they're already overweight. Now, that's an
That makes
theory.
A lot of sense.
Interesting.
They're trying to keep the boys away from them so that it's easier to do that if you're a fat ass.
Because going through high school, they're just too hot. They have to pile on the pounds.
What's true of a lot of people who are sexually molested as kids, too, they often tend to be overweight because they're trying to insulate themselves from any sexual attention at all, so they get unattractive.
Andy is calling from Sherman Oaks, but you're from the East Coast, right?
Yeah.
And how does that play into this conversation?
Well, okay, I have two theories. First of all, being you're an idiot.
Okay, good.
Hey, that's not a theory, by the way. That's a fact.
That's right.
Oh, wait
that's
a minute.
Right. Go ahead.
Absolutely. Nobody's choosing to be a lesbian, first of all. But I'm from the East Coast, and honestly, the girls out there are bigger. But everybody's bigger.
Yeah.
I think that girls tend to get bigger. They get more emotional. Yeah, sure, that's part of it.
Why are they bigger on the East Coast?
She's saying everyone is.
Everyone on the East Coast.
Yeah.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, honestly.
Well, it's just a less healthy environment out there, right?
Plus, they need more fat to keep themselves warm.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, we don't have time to go off on the tangent since I'm the idiot here, Andy, but why is it you don't think that some women choose to be lesbians, Anne Heche?
No. She didn't choose to not. She's pretending right now, by the way, just so you know.
But Andy, our theory is that there's a little bit of lesbian in all women, but guys are different. It's not a choice as much for guys as it can be for girls. No?
Ooh, that's a hard one.
I don't know.
There's a little bit of lesbian in every girl. Yes, absolutely.
That's all we want to hear.
It does seem like women hop back and forth sometimes, whereas men never do that.
Yeah, there are very few guys that are one drink away from a homosexual experience. Let's face it. And we know that most women are at that point, right? I mean, you guys would agree with me on that.
Again, because women are hot. They have that option. Gay guys don't have that option.
Not what Andy thinks.
All right.
Well, I think absolutely women, and of course, women want to be with women. Yes, they are better.
Sorry, guys.
No question.
Honestly, I think that it's much more socially acceptable for women to be with women.
Absolutely. It's a cultural thing. Guys think it's hot when two chicks get together, so they're encouraged to do it.
Well, that's because it is hot. I mean,
but I think what we're saying, if we can just put a an exclamation point on this whole conversation, is not hot to be fat. That's what we're saying here, is that's not the way to go. Go ahead and be gay, but don't be fat. That's what we're saying, right?
We want our lesbians trim is what we're asking for.
For health reasons.
Wait a minute.
No, for hot reasons.
I honestly don't know what we're saying.
Happy to welcome back to the program. First time we've talked to him since the last Olympics when he checked in from HBO. Ladies and gentlemen, Jim Lampley on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
Yes.
Hey, Jim.
Hey, how are you?
Very good. How are you?
Thank you for squeezing in some time for us today. We really appreciate it. So the world awaits this Saturday night in Las Vegas. Is there any way this fight can live up to the hype between De La Hoya and Mayweather?
Probably not. I mean, it's unbelievable hype. You know, I think this reflects the enormous hunger of the American boxing public for a big fight that involves two American fighters. There have been some big fights in boxing over the course of the 5 years since Mike Tyson and Lennox Lewis, but most of them didn't involve two American fighters. And I think there's a tremendous perception in the United States that unless it involves two American fighters, it's not big enough to satisfy the hunger. This does, and you have the best fighter in the sport against the best known fighter in the sport. But I think what the public forgets is styles make fights. And these two styles do not necessarily conspire in such a way as to promise combustion. I mean, people run into me in airports and shopping malls and say, oh, man, that's going to be a great fight. And I look at them and think, what is it that you know that I don't? Because you could look at Floyd Mayweather's last three fights, and it's hard to find a really entertaining round. He doesn't fight in a particularly entertaining style. That's one of the reasons that he's practically impossible to beat. Pernell Whitaker and Ray Jones were the same kind of thing
right.
at their peak. So, you know, in order for this to be what everybody wants it to be, Oscar De La Hoya is going to have to show up with hand grenades. And you know, and that's the guy who most benefits if there is real entertainment. I hope that he does. That's what we really need.
Do you think the HBO show that's 24/7 that we've been watching leads to this kind of hype? Because it's a really, really great show behind the scenes, both of them training. There's one of them that's the total enemy. There's another guy that's the total good guy. I mean, it just seems like it builds to a perfect conclusion. It may not, but that's what it's building to from the show.
Well, I mean, certainly, you know, going back to the days of Douglas Fairbanks Jr., if you've got a black hat and a white hat, that helps. And obviously, Floyd made a conscious decision to cast himself as the black hat. Yeah, I mean, you can't be that obnoxious without wanting to be. So, you know, you have that element, and that probably will help to sell the pay-per-view. And there's a great incentive there for both fighters because the guarantee formula for their payoff is based on a particular number of pay-per-view buys, and it now appears as if we're going to dramatically exceed that particular number. Every pay-per-view buy beyond the baseline means more money for Floyd and Oscar.
Oh.
And they're going to make unbelievable sums of money Saturday night.
How much are they going to make?
Oscar will make $30 or $35 million probably Saturday night.
Oh, wow.
Floyd's probably going to make in excess of $20 million when all is said and done from all the revenues that go into this. I mean, consider the Live Gate guys, and they don't even really share in this because now I'm talking about the underground economy. The Live Gate is $19 million, the largest ever for a prize fight, and that's because 65% of the house was priced at $2,000 per ticket.
Oh, my
God. Those $2,000 tickets are going on eBay for anywhere from $10,000 to $14,000. So if the official Live Gate is $19 million, the real Live Gate is probably going to be more like $50 million, is what people are shelling out for the privilege of being in the house to see what everybody seems to believe is going to be a great fight and what I fear is going to be a tactical battle.
And by the way, it's at the MGM Grand, which is a huge arena for 60% of it to be that expensive.
Wow.
Yes.
Jim, let me ask you.
65% of the house at $2,000. That's quite amazing.
Yes, Ralph.
Jim, let me ask you, do you think that above and beyond Oscar being the promoter for this fight with Golden Boy Productions, does he have any real motivation to win this fight? Does he seriously feel like this might be his last rod and he's trying to make a statement?
Well, I think that's one of the reasons that there's such a tremendous hunger for the fight is that people instinctively realize there aren't a lot of grains of sand left in the Oscar De La Hoya hourglass. I mean, you're not going to get that many more chances to see him at or near the pinnacle of the sport. And I think there's an enormous incentive for him to win the fight. Oscar's legacy at this moment is that he was the biggest attraction of his era and statistically the biggest non-heavyweight attraction in the history of the sport. But he has four losses on his record. And a couple of those losses are questionable losses. You know, the one previous time in a non-heavyweight fight in my fight calling career when the general public bought into a fight like this was De La Hoya Trinidad in 1999. Yeah. And in De La Hoya Trinidad, you wound up with a tactical fight and a highly questionable, controversial decision.
Right.
That's the last thing in the world we want Saturday night. That's why I'm hoping for combustion. But the bottom line is that the same kind of thing could conceivably happen again. I think Oscar would love to erase the questionable legacy of fights like the Trinidad fight and his second fight with Shane Mosley by going in and storming Floyd Mayweather and beating the best fighter in the sport and stamping himself once and for all, not just as an amazing attraction, but also as a great prize fighter.
This is Jim Lampley on the line, of course, the great HBO boxing commentator. We're talking about De La Hoya Mayweather, which is going to be this Saturday night, available on pay-per-view. Of course, the fight is sold out, and it's live at the MGM Grand in Las Vegas. How much mind games is going on as both fighters seem to be using Mayweather Sr., it seems like, to annoy the other? I mean, isn't he going to be there in the house with tickets provided by and a hotel room provided by Oscar De La Hoya this Saturday?
It kind of now appears to me as though Floyd Sr. won't even be there. He's training Juan Guzman for a very big upcoming fight, and he's totally on the outs again, or so it appears,
wow,
with his son. And, you know, the question of whether Floyd Sr. there is the last thing on Oscar's mind. I think Oscar is very happy with his experience with Freddie Roach in training for this fight, and I'm not sure what's going to happen in the future between Floyd Mayweather and Oscar De La Hoya, because Oscar and Freddie Roach look like a good style matchup to me. I think that Floyd Mayweather is likely, at this moment, my guess is, not to be in the arena Saturday.
How about that?
Although, of course, his aura hangs over both fighters in a certain way. And, it was another great story for selling the fight. If he had actually been training Oscar, hey, this thing would have been on Oprah, and who knows? maybe we were talking about 2.5 million pay-per-view buys. But,
yeah.
At this moment, he appears to be a non-factor.
Those of you that don't follow the sport at all, you don't care. One of the fighters' dads trained the other guy for like 6 years.
Right.
And
yes.
Wow.
That's just nutty.
Jim, let me ask you, given Mayweather's conditioning and his speed, what does Oscar have to do to win the fight?
He has to find a way to trap him, cut off the ring, and force Floyd Mayweather to engage him and trade punches in such a way that Oscar can get a chance to land a big shot, most notably his magical left hook. Oscar De La Hoya has a great left hook. It came out of the cradle with him. It's a gift from nature. And he's got to land that punch at some point during the fight upstairs, I think, to have a real chance to win it. And probably the best way to do that is not to focus on it. It's like the home run hitter who's going to hit a home run by getting that chance opportunity instead of thinking about it. Oscar needs to go to the body. The one time Floyd Mayweather almost lost a fight was against Jose Luis Castillo back in the 135-pound weight class, when Castillo was able to trap him against the ropes repeatedly and hammer his rib cage. If Oscar can do that, and it's not his nature, then I think he could have a chance in the fight. If he tries to trade punches upstairs with Mayweather and he gets into a ballet act, which is the kind of fight that Floyd prefers, then he's got trouble, because Floyd is very difficult to find, an extremely accurate puncher, and has great footwork and speed.
You know, Jim, the last fight that I saw you call was the great Rocky Balboa-Mason-Dixon match back in December, and if this fight is half as good as that one is, I think we're going to have a hell of a time on Saturday night.
Well, the one thing it has in common is that these two fighters don't like each other, and I guarantee Sly and Antonio Tarver are not going to be spending any time at each other's bar mitzvahs. They were not very happy with each other by the time they shot that fight on the set. In fact, there's a knockdown in Sylvester Stallone versus Antonio Tarver, or Rocky Balboa versus Mason Dixon, as you accurately called it. There's a knockdown in there that's a real knockdown, because Sylvester so angered Tarver by digging body shots into his ribs that Tarver, arguably the best light heavyweight in the world in the moments leading up to that shoot, Tarver turned around and threw a counter right hook and knocked the 59-year-old man right on his butt.
No kidding.
How about that?
And that is in the movie, and Sly was buzzed for about a half day after that, and he was so happy. He was so ecstatic. He's been wanting that for 30 years.
Look at that. We got a little bonus story out of Mr. Lampley this morning. That's fantastic. All right, you can get it through pay-per-view.
You don't want to know all the blades of glory behind the scenes?
I bet you got it. I bet. We'll save that for another time. You can get the pay-per-view fight through HBO pay-per-view. $54.95 standard definition, $64.95 in HD. Go ahead and spend the extra $10. It'll be worth it. Boxing looks great in HD. And then you'll see it, of course, after that on the regular HBO. Jim Lampley, have a great time out there in Las Vegas this weekend. We always love having you on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
Thank you very much. Great privilege. Talk to you later.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
As part of our Trace de Mayo celebration here on the Kevin and Bean Show, the author of Ask a Mexican, new book in stores now based on the popular newspaper column. We've got Gustavo Arellano joining us in the studio right after the 8 o'clock news.
Did somebody order Mexican?
In fact, we did. Thank you for asking. First, it's KRQFM passing in Los Angeles. Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat. What's going on, Ralph?
Trace de Mayo.
Yeah.
He's very Hispanic.
What's wrong with Kirsten Dunst? Why is she so foul? On every level.
I don't know.
At least she's not attractive but talentless. And then she compounds it by having disgusting feet. Have you seen these pictures?
Hey, Ralph, is she talentless? I don't really...
Yeah.
Yeah? Not a good actress?
I don't have nearly the hatred y'all do for Kirsten Dunst. I think she's perfectly serviceable. But I will tell you that I can't disagree with the feet, because the feet's got troubles.
And by the way, for her level of fame, perfectly serviceable
That's
is really not what you're looking for.
That's what you shoot for.
Her feet.
They've got photos of her on the internet, I guess, at the premiere of Spider-Man 3 in New York, and they've got close-ups on her feet, and they're covered with some sort of disgusting red rash or something.
Yeah.
It's horrible.
It's not good.
Horrible.
When you think if you're a movie star and you know they look at you that closely, you'd cover up your feet.
You'd think.
I would think.
Yeah, long skirt and boots is what you'd wear if you had something like that you wouldn't necessarily want to gross everybody out with on the red carpet.
Yeah, I don't know where she picked up this this foot cancer, but...
this fungi.
I think it was probably, just wallowing around in the mud in front of the trough with the other pigs. Oh. I like her, though. She's good.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
Lindsay Lohan's going to be on the cover of Radar magazine. You familiar with Radar magazine?
Yeah, it's a music magazine, right?
Yeah, they're going to have a cover story called Hollywood versus the Paparazzi. It's war. And on the cover, it's Lindsay holding a Glock pistol.
Oh, come on.
I'm serious.
Doesn't she seem like one of the people in Hollywood that look like they court?
Oh, absolutely.
The paparazzi.
Oh, totally.
In a recent interview, she said, I would be really upset if they stopped taking my picture.
Yeah.
So.
Well, don't tell Mr. Weatherby that she's holding a gun on the cover of that magazine. He'll have it shut down.
He'll just give her a fist instead.
Right.
Poor Jennifer Aniston apparently has a tough time moving on. Friends are concerned, according to Us Weekly magazine, that despite her best efforts to break up with Vince Vaughn, she keeps falling back into bed with him. Go, Vince. It's your birthday.
Okay.
And Sandra Bullock has now asked for a restraining order against Marcia Valentine. She's that loony who tried to run over Jesse James last week in her Mercedes. Right. She backed up, tried to back up at him five times, by the way. You have to admire her conviction, if nothing else. TMZ.com says Sandra says the incident is just the latest attempt of insanity from Ms. Valentine, claiming she's also trespassed several times on their property and just throws stuff on their lawn sometimes.
If I can't have you, you get my trash?
I'm going to litter all over your ass, bitch. And for fans of Pearl Jam, good news is a live box set will be coming out this summer. You can pick up 76 new live tracks from Pearl Jam. It's a 7-CD set called Live at the Gorge. It is, of course, taped at the Gorge Amphitheater in George Washington. This is George Washington, by the way. Great city name. It's George Washington!
That's what they call it.
He's the father of our country.
Oh, I get it.
Yeah. You know, Bean's interesting fact of the day is that Washington is the only state that's named after a U.S. president.
The homosexual is right.
What about President Stephen Wyoming?
I forgot about him.
Yeah, what about him?
Today's celebrity birthday is Ann B. Davis.
She was, of course, Alice on the Brady Bunch. She's 81 years old today. Getting a ton of emails, by the way. People asking for Rock Meet Abby Davis.
No.
Today's the day.
No can do.
Just can't do it. Actor Dulé Hill from West Wing and Psych. He is 32 years old today. And Greg Gumbel, brother of Brian Gumbel, sportscaster in his own right. He is 61 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Did somebody order Mexican?
Yes, we did.
Well, as a matter of fact, we did. Thank you for asking. Sir Gustavo Arellano, ladies and gentlemen, in the studio of the world-famous K-Rock. He is the author of Ask a Mexican, newspaper column, now out as a book, too, through Amazon.com. Or where are you? In all the bookstores, too? Wherever?
Barnes & Noble, Borders, Amazon, everywhere in the United States.
It's a funny book. I've read a lot of it, and it's very funny. And some of it's informative, but a lot of it's very tongue-in-cheek and funny.
Thank you.
Now, Gustavo, I told you this off the air, but it bears repeating on. Our listeners have been demanding that we have you on as a guest. I guess you got a lot of fans from your column that's read in the Orange County Weekly. And people really respond to what it is you have to say. How do you describe Ask a Mexican to people who have never read it before?
Ask a Mexican is exactly how it sounds. I'll answer any and all questions about Mexicans. They could be racist, sexist, informative, about dwarves, whatever you want. I'll answer it.
Now, that's a good place to start, because one of the questions in your book is, why do Mexicans seem to love dwarves so much?
They do. The reason is because in the pre-Hispanic cultures of the Aztecs and the Olmecs, the dwarves, they were considered rain gods, and so they were worshipped in a way. So, of course, the past is ever present for Mexicans, so that reveration for dwarves now manifests itself by putting dwarves on television and allowing them to chase big-bosomed women all over the screen.
And that's really, that's the best TV out there.
Isn't it?
What's better than dwarves chasing big-busted women around?
It's lovely.
Hey, where did the guy dressed up in the bee costume start, Gustavo?
That's El Chapulín Colorado, the red grasshopper, and he was this character by a guy who called himself Chespirito, Little Shakespeare. So it would be a comedy show, and that's how he ended up with a, you know, red suit and the little antenna, and it still comes out on television. Of course, Matt Groening cites El Chapulín directly as inspiration for Bumblebee Man. Mexican in the United States knows who this guy is, and even Gabachos for that matter.
Do you get people who complain that you try to speak for an entire race and they don't? Hey, you're not speaking for me. Blah, 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 blah.
Oh, absolutely. You have, I can't say it on the air, but I call them a certain thing, PC something or other. But no, you get people say, oh, who appointed you the Mexican? And I tell them, no one appointed me the Mexican. I'm just answering these questions. You can answer them as well. Of course, you're going to have to deal with a lot of racism. You're going to have to try to be funny and intellectual at the same time and do it week after week after week. Most people can't do that offer.
By the way, and without getting bitter about it, that's the difficult part, because you do get a lot of crap. You know?
Oh my gosh, I get so much hate mail all the time, and a lot of people, the tendency is to cry and weep and moan about it. Mm-hmm. I'd rather debunk the stereotypes that they're trying to prove to me and have a lot of fun with it. So a lot of times if people send me like really bad things, I'll say, oh, thank you for being my fan.
Yes.
Yeah, they are.
Nothing makes them more angry. By the way, we've learned this too. Your email was very funny. That's a good one.
Just write that back to them.
No matter what they're saying, it angers them.
Yeah. Gustavo, why the Dodgers and why the Raiders? How did those teams become so immensely popular with American Hispanics?
The same reason why K-Rock is so popular amongst Latinos in Southern California. During the 80s, a lot of Latinos came of age. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, they listened to K-Rock. That's why they love Morrissey, the Smiths, and all that stuff. And at the time, during the 80s, of course, the Dodgers, the Lakers, and the Raiders, they were winners. They were winning like crazy. Nowadays, of course, the Raiders are just terrible, but Latinos, or Mexicans specifically, are as big a bunch of front runners as white people can be. So, of course, you're going to like them. That's why you don't have so many people liking the Angels, because during the 80s, the Angels really weren't that good.
But they're good now.
They're good now. So now you have the latest generation of people now liking the Angels. But the Dodgers, at the same time, they kind of tanked for a little bit, but now they're better, especially now with Nomar Garciaparra.
Right.
You have a self-raised beaner from Southern California now playing for the home team. Everyone's going to love him.
Who's Psycho Mike, wants to play on his home team well.
He certainly does.
Speaking of K-Rock, what do Mexicans think of Beck? He smokes a lot of weed and says a lot of gibberish in Spanish. You'd think they'd like him.
We don't like them because...
That's one of the questions in the book.
Yeah, his album, Güero, he forgot the umlaut on top of it, the two dots on top of the U, so it's a mispronunciation. And he had a chance to tell the world that Mexicans really, well, we call white people güeros, but the more popular term is gabacho. Mm-hmm. So he had a chance, and he blew it.
So he didn't name his album Gabacho, so that's why he don't like
that's him? That's why I don't like
him. That's pretty rough.
You have to
now,
be.
Is it considered, should I be insulted if somebody calls me a gabacho?
It's the same term as a gringo, except it has a little bit more of an edge. Really, Mexicans use it because most gringos don't know the term gabacho, so that's just another way to... Right. Referenced to the gabacho without them knowing it.
I got you. What is your background, Gustavo? You were born in the United States or born in Mexico?
No, I was born in Anaheim. Both of my parents were immigrants. My mom was a legal immigrant. My dad was an illegal immigrant. He came to this country in the trunk of a Chevy in 1968,
nice.
Along with three other men. The way my dad tells it, each of the men paid two San Clemente hippie girls $50 a piece to drive them all the way from Tijuana to Chinatown here in L.A.
And a long
is
way
he still illegal, and can we turn him in?
No. He was deported a couple of times, and he jumped the border immediately. He's now a citizen, and in the great American tale of assimilation, now he thinks the latest batch of Mexicans are ruining this country.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, the former illegal immigrant.
I'm half Mexican myself, but I just don't understand. Why do Mexicans wear their clothes when swimming? Another one of the questions in your book.
The most asked question, actually, in NASCA Mexican
most?
History.
Really?
Of course, because it started here in Orange County, and it's still very popular in Southern California, and so everyone goes to the ocean. And the reason is that a lot of Mexicans, like a lot of white people, they're fat.
Right.
And so Mexicans are going to be more modest about it. We don't want to insult our neighbors with our rolls of fat, while gabachos, on the other hand, they're proud of the rolls.
Yeah, they're fine insulting and looking bad.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's not good.
How much time do you go back to Mexico at all? Do you ever spend any more time there?
Not really, because basically we have Mexico here in the United States now.
That's true.
Even growing up, my first language was Spanish. All the people that I grew up with, they all came from the same village that my mom came. What you've seen in the past 30 years with Mexican immigration, you've seen a hemorrhaging of villages to the United States where they reestablish their life. At the same time, though, you have the children, such as myself, being, you know, having one foot in the Mexican society, but also fully acculturating into this country.
I guess my question for you, and you probably hear this all the time on a serious note, is why have so many Mexicans given up on improving their home country?
You know, it's funny that people say that because it's a double standard. Well, two-part question. Number one, Mexicans are improving their country. They come here, they make billions of dollars, and they send it back to Mexico, and that's where they build the roads because the Mexican government is completely inefficient. But yet, people never ask the same question about previous waves of immigrants. It's understood in previous waves of immigration that they came to this country to stay and to make better lives for themselves. But because it's always Mexicans, and the American mind has always had this question mark about Mexicans, is that's why there's always questions about Mexicans. There's always this doubt about what they're going to do to this country or whether they might even ruin it.
Here's another question from your book. Why do Mexicans pronounce shower as chower, but chicken as chicken?
It's etymology. In Castilian Spanish, there's not a SH sound. It's all hard CHs.
Right.
So, you know, obviously Mexicans speak Spanish, so they're going to be pronouncing that word. However, that sound is a part of a lot of indigenous languages in Mexico. You know, not a lot of people in Mexico, they don't even speak Spanish. They speak Indian languages. So if anyone pronounces their CHs as a SH, then they're probably of Indian descent.
Okay. I got you.
There's no question that you can stump Gustavo on. If you want to ask a Mexican, and we haven't even given out the number yet, but all the lines are jammed, but you can call right now at 1-800-520-1067, and we'll throw your questions out there for Gustavo to answer. By the way, if you want to meet Gustavo, the author in the studio of K-Rock this morning, you can do so tonight at 7 o'clock. You are going to be where? At the Martinez Library down there in Santa Ana, right?
The Martinez Bookstore, 1110 North Main Street in Santa Ana. And I'm also going to have a book signing this coming Monday in Pico Rivera and the borders there.
Taking Cinco de Mayo off, huh? You're partying this weekend. You're just working around the weekend.
That's my girlfriend's holiday, and her birthday, and so she said, you can't do anything. You have to spend the entire day with me.
Yeah.
And she's nice, so of course I'm going to.
There you go. All right, we'll take your calls next. Gustavo Arellano is in the studio. His book is Ask a Mexican. You can buy it anywhere. We have Gustavo Arellano in the studio with us. Ask a Mexican is the name of the book. You can buy anywhere. You went to Chapman University.
Yeah,
Chapman High, as we call it on this show.
I'm so jealous. You know you are.
Our assistant producer, Alex, went there at the same time as you.
Yeah, I remember her now.
Yes, you
were
do.
Actually the hot chick with the glasses. I just never had the guts to say what's up to you.
Oh,
honestly.
Turns out we were both film majors.
Film studies majors.
And look what we're doing now.
At the same time?
The nerds of the nerds.
He wins.
Gustavo, all you had to do was ask her and she would have done you. What an opportunity you missed, my friend. She is the super whore. All right. Well, I am very excited about this because there is no Ask a Mexican question that Gustavo cannot answer. 1-800-520-1067. Why don't we start with, Juan in Anaheim. I think this is, I can't imagine there's a question our listeners will come up with that you haven't already answered through your column in the OC Weekly.
You'd always be surprised.
Juan, you're on with Gustavo. Go ahead, please.
Hey guys, Kevin and Ben and Lisa May, how you doing?
Good.
Hey Gustavo.
Hey, ¿qué onda?
I just have one question. What is it that Mexicans and Central Americans don't like each other?
In my column, I always bag on the Guatemalans. I say the Guatemalans are the worst people on earth. And
why is that?
Well, I do that specifically just to make a point. With the immigrant experience here in the United States, the older immigrants always bash on the newer immigrants. So the Germans used to bash on the Italians. They bashed on the Irish. Irish bashed on the Italians. Italians on Poles, and everyone on Mexicans. And specifically, though, the tensions between Mexicans and Central Americans. It's, you know, they're all poor countries there. So when you have poor countries in the same region, there's always going to be tensions. That's the same reason why you have tensions between the United States and Mexico, just because they're two separate cultures, two separate countries, and there's always going to be clashes behind the both of them. And specifically with Latin America, though, they all speak Spanish, but at the same time, they're fighting over resources, and they're all corrupt as hell, too, for that matter.
Okay. But you've got a badass southern border in Mexico. I mean, they do not tolerate people coming over the border from Central America, right?
I mean, they fortify it. They'll kill people there on the border. There was once a documentary, a Jesuit priest who helped out illegal immigrants from Central America in Mexico. They said that the Mexican Border Patrol treats immigrants trying to cross 30 times worse than the U.S. Border Patrol does Mexicans trying to cross in the United States. The hypocrisy there, I won't even have to comment on that.
Yeah. All right, let's go to Andrea, who's calling from Westminster. Good morning, Andrea.
Hi, guys. Hi, Lisa.
Hello.
My question is Cinco de Mayo actually celebrated in Mexico, or is it a made-up holiday by white people to drink?
Or both.
No, it's an actual event. It commemorates the Battle of Puebla in 1862 when a Mexican force was able to withstand the French invasion. What people don't tell you, though, is that a year later, the Mexicans and the French fought again on the exact same battlefield, and the French not only beat the Mexicans badly, but then ruled Mexico for 4 years.
Wow.
So it's still viewed as a holiday in Mexico, but Mexico has so many holidays. That's one of the minor ones. Here in the United States, it turned into a major holiday by Chicano activists during the 1960s. He's actually a professor at UCLA, David Hayes Bautista. He just came out with a new article in the Southern California Quarterly just giving the entire history of that. I haven't read it yet, but that's a short answer for
you. It's drinking for me.
I mean, it's St. Patrick's Day, exactly.
Yeah.
Sponsored by Corona.
What the hell?
Yeah,
exactly. Let's go to Tony in Mission Viejo, another question that has probably confounded Whitey for decades. Tony, you're on with Gustavo. Ask a Mexican. Go ahead.
Good morning, gentlemen. Good
Hi.
Morning, Lisa May.
Hello.
What's your question?
Yeah, I've got a question. What is La Raza, and what's their agenda?
Okay, there's always a misconception of what La Raza is. When people talk about the group La Raza, they're talking about the National Council for La Raza, which is sort of the NAACP for Latinos, or actually for Mexican Americans. So that's just an advocacy organization. Now, they get the term La Raza from a Mexican intellectual called Jose Vasconcelos, who in the 1920s came out with this essay called La Raza Cosmica, saying that Mexicans were the best race because they had all the races of the world in their blood: African, Indian, Asian, European. And so this was like this cosmic race that was going to rise above that. So in Mexico, you know, when you say que viva la raza, you're really saying viva Mexico. That's what you're saying.
Okay.
Mexicans do have the hottest chicks, I'll tell you that right now.
Oh, look at the telenovelas. Come on.
Hey, what do you think of the people? And there are admittedly a very small number, but they're quite vocal and quite passionate about taking back the parts of America that used to be Mexico. They say that one day they'll own parts of Arizona, New Mexico, California, Texas. What do you think of that?
Absolute idiots. They're basing their ideology. They're saying that they believe in the Aztec myth, that the Aztecs came from a land called Aztlan in the north that's now supposed to be the southwest United States, and that one day their ancestors would come back. What these idiots don't know, though, is that when the Aztecs came to Mexico City, they burnt all their historical documents, and they created a brand new history for them. So they're probably believing an ideology that's not even real. And so few people believe in that, and the people who do, they're complete morons.
Yeah, they're whack jobs, right?
Yeah, they're worse than that, but we can't say it over the air.
Do you have somebody start your car on a daily basis?
I warm it up for 5 minutes every day. Good. Absolutely.
All right, let's take a quick break. You can stick around for another break.
Absolutely.
We have a ton of calls.
Some good ones, too. Finally, someone's going to explain to us why accordions are so popular in Mexico. I can't wait to hear the answer to that.
Ask a Mexican is the name of the book, and Gustavo Arellano is our...
Did somebody order Mexican?
Yes, we did. It's the Kevin and Bean Show on the world-famous KROQ 106.7 KRQ. Gustavo Arellano is in our studios. Ask a Mexican is the name of the column in the Orange County Weekly, as well as the book that you can get now everywhere.
And you can meet Gustavo if you want to get your book signed. That'll be tonight at the Martinez Bookstore, which is on Main Street in Santa Ana. Call 714-973-7900. That'll be tonight. You having a pretty good turnout on these in-stores you're doing, Gustavo?
Oh, yes. Actually, that's going to be the first one. I already had a book signing at the Norwalk Public Library, of all places, and almost 100 people showed up.
Oh, wow.
It was great. Yeah,
good for you.
Yeah, with no advance at all.
Now, awesome. We talked about how the most asked question is, why do Mexicans wear their clothes into the pool? You'd covered that.
Yes.
Why is Morrissey so popular? You covered that. Let's go to Matt in Riverside, 1-800-520-1067. If you have a question you want to ask a Mexican, this must be one you get all the time, too. Hey, Matt, you're on with Gustavo on K-Rock. Go ahead.
Hey, Gustavo.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, I've got a Mexican neighbor.
Okay.
And he likes to play that music.
That music.
What music?
Got the same beat, the thump, 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 over and over again, every song.
Does it have tubas or does it have accordions?
It's got a little bit of both.
Accordions mainly, I guess. Yeah.
Okay.
Mainly accordions, and frankly, I think anything with an accordion needs to be buried in the
sand. Hey, Weird Al. Weird Al. Easy.
Hey, whatever.
Well, okay, the accordion music is Conjunto Norteño, and that's native to northern Mexico, and the reason why Mexican music has so much accordions is because that around the northern Mexico and the borderlands, you had a lot of Czech and Polish immigrants who mingled with the Mexican immigrants, and so the Mexicans continued to have that music. Now, the music with all the tubas and trombones, that's banda sinaloense. That's more central Mexico, and the reason why we have that music, and it sounds like umpa music, is because there were German immigrants there in central Mexico during the 1800s, and not only did they bring their music, they also brought their beers too, like Bohemia and all the lagers. They're all German beers, really.
Huh? How about that? All right. Thank
you. What's your Spanish language station of choice in LA? Are you a Que Buena man, or who do you like?
I'm actually La Ranchera 930. That plays the old Spanish ranchera music from the 50s and 60s. I'm a Mexican, so I like oldies music, no matter what it is.
Yeah. What is the deal with that guy? What is the deal with that guy who plays the doo-wop on Sundays that everybody loves?
Art LeBeau.
It was
always Art LeBeau and Huggy Boy. May he rest in peace. But again, these were people, Art LeBeau and Huggy Boy, they started in the 1950s playing this music, and they immediately attracted African-American and Mexican-American audience because they were playing their music at a time where really a lot of that music was not allowed on their airwaves. And so over the years, both LeBeau and Huggy Boy, they cultivated their audience going specifically to lowriders and East Los Angeles and all that. And so those people then taught their children to like it. So it's just a legacy thing, really.
Sure.
Let's go to Jesus.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Okay.
Jesus in Santa Cruz. You're on the Kevin and Bean Show with Gustavo. Go ahead. Ask a Mexican.
Buenos días, Kevin and Bean. Buenos días, Lisa.
Hi, Jesus.
Buenos días.
Well, I wanted to know, how come you address most of your columns towards gabachos and güeros?
Mm-hmm.
And I also wanted to know, what's the purpose of the column? Is it for cultural awareness, or is it more for comic relief?
Sure. It's not just gabachos. It's everyone who writes in. So Mexicans write in, African-Americans, Chinese, and I refer to them by their ethnic slur as well. So Chinese or Asians, I'll call them chinitos, African-Americans, negritos. It's all done in... Obviously, it's very satirical, but ultimately, it's to debunk stereotypes about Mexicans. That's how the column started, because it started in Orange County, which has this really heated immigration debate. So I wanted to debunk stereotypes, and that's how it started. Now, though, I'll answer any questions, whether if it's something and like a historically curious question, I'll answer it. Like Cinco de Mayo, I'll answer that. If it's like a racist, stereotypical question, then I'm going to answer that. But I'm also going to disprove the stereotype that people may have. So ultimately, it's done, for the betterment of humanity, for that matter. But if I just pontificated about, being all serious, no one would really like it. If you use sarcasm, satire, it allows you bigger liberties than if you were just serious.
Plus, by the way, don't Mexicans know the answer to those questions?
A lot of Mexicans don't.
They don't?
No. Well, I mean, depending on the question. Like, one question I got recently was, why does the Virgin of Guadalupe have an Arabic name? And Guadalupe is an Arabic name. And the reason why that happened was the Spaniards, when they conquered Mexico, they brought with them the veneration of the Virgin Guadalupe. And the name Guadalupe came from the time when the Moors ruled Spain.
Okay.
And then after that, I get more into detailed theology. So there's some questions that people just have about Mexicans.
Sure.
Than the one that knows.
Hey, Bean, I think Gustavo's way too smart for me.
I agree.
I'm having trouble keeping up.
All right, we don't have... Lisa, you had a question for Gustavo as well.
There are two distinct impressions about Mexicans. One, the hardest working people in the world. Uh-huh. And two, the lazy Mexican, everything's mañana, mañana, mañana. Uh-huh. How does that work?
That's one of the great trademarks of the American immigrant experience, at least the way Americans view immigrants. They've always viewed them as threats to their jobs or just lazy people. So you had the Chinese, they were either coolies who had all the railroad jobs, or they were opium smokers. You had the Irish, who were either a bunch of drunks or they were ward bosses. Italians, they were, lived in tenement slums, or they were mafia members. And of course, and the Jews, they were rag pickers, or, they were the Zionist plotters of the the world. So it's also going to happen with Mexicans. It's just this weird thing in the American mind that somehow you could be the same thing at the two separate things at the same time. Makes no sense, but that's the American way.
All right, we don't have time for all these questions. I'm just going to read some of them quickly. They're on hold. I apologize to everybody on hold. Jackson from Hermosa wants to know, why is the luchador so popular in Mexico?
Well, no, come on, lucha libre, it's a popular thing. Masks have had a historical significance in Mexico, going back from the saints to the Aztec gods. And come on, lucha libre is cool. Much
it's
better
the
than
best.
Yeah, much better than WWE.
Do Mexicans respect the king of Mexico?
Who's the king of Mexico?
Oh, that's our guy.
Our phone screener. No?
Of course.
Why do elderly Mexicans hate tattoos, Ricardo wants to know.
My mom.
Is that true?
Yeah, my mom still tells me, never get a tattoo because it says in the Bible that you'll go to hell if you get a tattoo.
Really?
She's never showed me that verse, but.
But the Jews also believe.
Really?
That, yeah.
Is that right?
Then there must be some reality to that.
Yeah, no, I don't think so. what about nobody is illegal? Tell us about that.
Nobody is.
Because that was big a couple days ago.
Sure. The reason why so many people believe that is because, again, like my father, a lot of people have parents or relatives who are illegal immigrants, and they've made something of themselves in their country. Obviously, they broke the law, but at the same time, there's this desire to have a relaxation of immigration laws, or at the very least, allow people to be able to participate fully in this country.
Right.
You know, when people use, though, that language that, oh, you can't call them illegal, they're undocumented workers, that's ridiculous. That's just being PC. You know, call people for what they are, illegal immigrants. That said, when you're going to call them, then let's have a discussion about what can we... You have these people wanting to better this country. Why would we want to reject that? At the same time, though, you should follow protocol, and you should follow the law, and you should do something about that as well.
Much more complex than either side is willing
exactly.
to admit.
Certainly.
If you were
George W. Bush today, would you is amnesty something that you would recommend to the president? Or
exactly some type of amnesty? I'm still not sure exactly what my purpose actually with the amnesty would be. Ask these people: do you want to be Americans, or do you just want to work in this country, get money, and then go back? If you just want to work, then let's put you in a guest worker program. Let's figure something out, and then you know leave. But if you want to be American, you want to better this country, then let's get you on the process. Let's get you English language classes. Let's you know as we used to do back in the day. So it's really up to the immigrants themselves, but again, we should give them the chance. We should give these immigrants the chance to decide what they want in their lives.
Our friend Rudy from Boyle Heights on the phone. Good morning, Rudy.
Hey, what's up, eh, Gustavo?
Hey, ¿qué onda?
What's up, ese?
Nothing much, on? Man. Pure and a crime, ese.
Hey, man, how come I got so many kids?
That's your question, Rudy?
That's your question.
My Uncle Creeper said, like, if you smoke enough Yesca, like, you can't, like, make no babies, right? But,
yeah.
Like, I smoke crazy weed. I said, like, crazy weed. And, like, yeah, like I got mad kids, man. And, like, sad girl's pregnant again. I don't know what
to say. Oh, not again.
Let me tell you what's up with that. I could give you an anthropological response and say that poor people have a lot of kids because they need to have more people that could make money for them.
Because they die. Also.
Exactly.
Many of their children die.
I could give you a theological response and say that Mexican Catholics don't believe in contraception, but let's get down to reality. There's no contraception in the world that could hold back Mexican sperm. It is by far the most powerful sperm on earth.
So all congratulations, right. Rudy. Very well done. The book is called Ask a Mexican. You can order it online from Amazon.com or Barnes & Noble or anywhere that you want to go to pick it up. And of course, the column is in the OC Weekly. And again, if you want to meet Gustavo, you can do so tonight. That's going to be at the Martinez Bookstore, which is on Main Street in Santa Ana. Gustavo, this was so much fun. I'm afraid we may have to invite you to come back another time and do it all
over
again.
It would be an honor. I'm always here. You could always call this Mexican right up from the right down Orange County.
Thank you, man. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Bye
now. Right now, Ralph is here with our final look at the Showbiz Beat for a Thursday morning. Ralph, what's going on?
Isaiah Washington, star of Grey's Anatomy. Well, first he called one of his coworkers the F word that you use as a gay slur.
Right.
Then he repeated that same slur at the Emmys.
Sure.
Then he went into rehab. He went into gay bashing rehab.
Sure.
Then he fired his publicist and hired a new publicist who happened to be gay. And now he has announced he is going to be appearing in public service messages on behalf of the Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Defamation. Yay! And the Gay and Lesbian Straight Education Network.
Wow.
If I see Isaiah Washington on my TV screen telling me not to call gay guys the F word, I'm going to slap him right in his head. Unreal.
He's a fag.
Nope. Not allowed
that's
to use
what he's going to not say.
Right.
That would be inappropriate and wrong.
Correct.
He says, right now we're going to have at least two versions at this point. It may broaden our message a little. What's your message? If you're going to call a guy the F word, don't do it at the Emmys?
Correct.
Unreal. Lindsay Lohan says she's got big plans for her 21st birthday party.
She's not 21 yet?
Not yet. No. She told Ellen DeGeneres that she can't wait to turn 21 And when she does, she's going to milk it because she becomes legally old enough to go to nightclubs and bars.
Oh.
Because, you know, up to this point, she hasn't been able to get in and
right.
drink. And they, oh, wait a minute.
That must have been difficult for her.
She says she has a lot of friends who own clubs and bars in Los Angeles. And now they won't have to worry anymore about getting me inside. She said they won't get into trouble.
Didn't she go to rehab already, Ralph?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Said she's going to start by partying in Vegas, then come back to Los Angeles to party, and then have dinner with some family in Malibu.
She's special.
She's not long for this planet.
No,
she's a goner.
No.
Well, that's stupid.
She's going to drink more when she's 21. It's over.
I don't think that's possible.
Last night at American Idol, they booted two contestants off. They had to make up for the fact they skipped a week for that charity show when they raised $70 million for poverty-stricken kids all over the world. Phil Stacey and Chris Richardson were the two that got the least number of votes over the past 2 weeks. So now there's just four left. Jordan, Lakeisha, Melinda, and Blake, the human beatbox.
Is there really a beatboxer in the final four?
You give love a bad name.
Oh, no, no.
That's what he did last week.
He beatboxes in every song?
No.
Yes.
No, he
does.
Yes, he does.
I want him to win.
He has gone 2 or 3 weeks at a time without beatboxing at all.
Well,
but
that's not right.
This most recent week, he really turned up the beatbox for You Give Love a Bad Name.
Yeah, it was very odd.
It was odd, but I think, I mean, he swung for the fences, but I think it worked. Didn't you, Ralph?
Nope.
He's in the final four.
He is.
That's
yeah.
amazing.
Well, because he's the only one who has any sort of contemporary style about him at all.
Oh, I see.
His fans, by the way, Kevin, you'd be happy to know. You remember they were the Claymates, you remember? His fans are the Blaker girls.
Yeah!
Yeah! See what they've done there. Here was one of them on last night's American Idol talking about her boy Blake.
He's like awesome and hot, and he looks like Justin Timberlake, which is super cool.
So that's his audience.
Okay, good.
That is super cool.
That is super
cool.
He
is like awesome and like hot, though, Kevin.
Next week on American Idol, Barry Gibb of the Bee Gees will be the mentor for the contestants.
Wow.
Wow. I'm guessing they'll sing some Bee Gees songs over the theme they're telling us. Next week's theme for the songs the contestants will be singing is boogie songs.
Say, put a tree in your butt, put a bubble bee
is this the song?
In your butt.
Yeah, maybe someone will do that.
In your butt, put a big rock in your butt. Say, put some fleas in your butt. Say, stop to sneeze in your butt. Say, put a tin can in your butt. Put a little tiny man in
sing
your butt.
Sing it, here we go.
Say,
you know, Lakeisha ought to sing that. She's got the butt.
Come on.
Yeah. Put the United States in your butt. Lakeisha could do.
Lakeisha.
Your butt ain't made for that!
Crash star Jennifer Esposito has burned through her first marriage already in record time, too. She just filed for divorce from her husband, Bradley Cooper, of Alias and Wedding Crashers. 4 months they were married until they realized they just had irreconcilable differences.
Wow.
Now, forgive me for saying this, but haven't you been unhappy for quite some time by the way you break up? By the time you actually break up with someone?
By the time you get a divorce?
Yes.
I would like to think
You've been miserable for a while by the time you get it. It doesn't just...
Try to work it out a little bit, maybe get some counseling. You
that's
know.
Not an overnight thing.
Well, were they a couple that dated a long time, or did they just kind of meet and get married?
I don't ever remember
hearing them dating.
4 months is spectacular, though.
I mean, and what if infidelity played a role? I mean, that could change things overnight.
True.
You know, if she just he or she found out of the blue about a new relationship, that could.
I often think the biggest irreconcilable difference is when one of the partners wants to bang other people, and the other person doesn't want that so much.
They're not down with that.
That is pretty irreconcilable, right there.
Gay Bean, no bell, by the way,
for Jennifer Esposito. Yeah, sure.
There you go.
Give her a bell. Oh, you're a sport.
Thanks,
yeah, sure. I'll do it. And Melanie Brown, also known as Mel B, the Spice Girl star. She was Scary Spice. She's fed up with Eddie Murphy dodging her and not saying that the kid that she just had is his and will not sign the birth certificate. So now she's going to take him to court.
Say, put a tree in your butt. Put a bubble bee.
See, that's Eddie Murphy.
Yeah, that guy was nominated for an Oscar.
Yes, he was.
Right. I mean, she claims it's 100%. This isn't like an Anna Nicole where she might not have known who the father was. According to Scary, she says there's no possibility it's anyone other than Eddie.
Right. I was banging this guy for a year. I got pregnant. Then he left me. It's his baby. He has, of course, been dodging her now. He'll have to go into court to get a DNA test. And if it is his child, he will have to sign the birth certificate and take on some responsibility for raising the child. She's already named the kid Angel Iris Murphy Brown.
So it's right there in the name. He's got to be the dad.
That's true.
The kid's name is Murphy.
How do you argue that?
Did you see what she said about him on the red carpet of that event she was at the other night when they talked to her, Ralph?
I did not.
No.
He's like awesome and hot, and he looks like Justin Timberlake, which is super cool.
That is super cool.
Yeah, that's hot.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Dule Hill from The West Wing.
Yes.
What? I'm sorry, I just flashed on Joan Rivers on the red carpet when Dule Hill came up, and she said, "Here's Juliette Mills."
That's right.
Who was a 65-year-old British actress.
Yes.
Who was on, I think, Saved by the Bell, the early years or something. She was their teacher or something.
At that point, Joan didn't know where she was. She just read whatever she thought she saw on the card.
Black guy shows up, 22 years old. She goes, "It's Juliette Mills." Anyway,
who was the rapper that she got confused about?
It was Juan G.
Juan G. Like, she thought it was Keen.
Ladies and gentlemen, Keen.
She thought Juan G was three white British guys.
How dare you? How dare you say that, son of a bitch?
She's so horrible.
Yeah, she's bad.
Greg Gumbel turned 61 years old today, and Ann B. Davis, of course, Alice from the Brady Bunch, she's 81 years old today, still wearing that blue smock, walking around making pork chops and applesauce. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
I swear to God, this seems like it's the first time we've ever done this contest. Behind the scenes, yes, during that scrambling song, we're trying to figure out what the questions are, who's going to ask them, how do we possibly pull this off?
Well, it's been like a week since we did it, Kevin, so we have short attention spans. You know that. It's the Kevin and Bean Show at K-Rock, the K-Rock Weenie Roasty Fiesta 2007. Tickets go on sale this Saturday at noon, or you can win them right now if you'd like to play the Weenie edition of Lick Lisa.
Can you lick Lisa? I think you'll find it's hard. But if you do lick Lisa, something hot's waiting for you.
Lick, lick Lisa, 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 lick, lick Lisa. But keep clear of her vagina.
Oh, I hate all the rules and restrictions we have to put on our contestants on this game.
I know,
game.
That blows.
I have to tell you, our licker is very nervous.
Yeah,
Browse is? Intern Browse?
Yes.
Intern Browse, he doesn't look nervous to me. Looks like he's getting ready to go.
He offered to do it already.
Did he really?
How come back when this game was played, when we called it Beat Kevin, how come there was no vagina restriction then, but all of a sudden, Lisa gets to be the victim. All of a sudden, now you got to be careful where you lick.
Yeah, it's fine to hit me in the vagina.
Exactly.
I was going to point out that you might not have one.
Oh, that's right.
Okay.
Kevin, why don't you explain to the people on hold and the folks listening at home how the game is played.
We're going to ask a question. Lisa's going to give an answer. It's going to be a number answer. So you have to either say she's right on or she's higher or she should have been higher. She should have been lower. The correct answer is higher or lower. And then we're going to put you into a drawing and you win tickets for the K-Rock Weenie Roasty Fiesta.
Okay. So remember, Lisa answers first. The answer will always be a number. We'll start with Paul, who's calling from L.A. Hey, Paul, you're on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. You ready to take a stab at Lick Lisa, the Weenie edition?
Oh, yes, I am.
All right. All right, listen up. Here's question number one. Apparently, Jared Leto, Mike, thinks it only takes 30 seconds to get to Mars, but it will take much longer than that to get into his pants. What's the average foreplay time in the United States? According to Men's Health Magazine, Worldwide Sex Survey, average foreplay time in the U.S.
Lisa?
12 minutes.
12 minutes. Paul, is that right on, or is the answer higher or lower?
I say less than that.
You say less than that. No, I'm sorry. It's actually 16.4 minutes, according to Men's Health Magazine. So you do not get in the drawing, and I'm sorry, Browse, you do not get to lick Lisa.
Sorry, Browse.
I think we did find out something about Paul this morning.
Yes, we did. Paul is he's a man in a hurry.
Let's go to Doug in Torrance. Good morning, Doug.
Good morning, guys. How you guys doing?
Lisa, very good.
Hey, Doug.
All right, listen up. Lisa answers first. Here's your question. Let's face it, guys. The Weenie Roast Fiesta from K-Rock is just an excuse for Kevin to park his helicopter by the Red Bull vodka bar and start a fire on the lawn. Here's your question, Lisa. What is the capacity of the Verizon Wireless Amphitheater, once again, our host venue for this year's concert? What is the capacity of the venue?
I'm going to say 7,000.
7,000. Doug, higher or lower, the same?
I got to say higher.
You got to say, yeah, of course. 16,085 is how much you can pack into Verizon. Congratulations, Doug. You're in the drawing. Browse, you get to lick Lisa.
Thanks, Doug.
Just her wrist?
He's being a gentleman, because usually we have female licorice.
You're such a puss. That was weak sauce, man.
I appreciate brows.
I don't. All right, let's go to Jeff in Riverside. Good morning, Jeff.
What's up, Nugget Butts?
Hi, Jeff.
All right, here's your question, Lisa. Famous competitive eater Takeru Kobayashi ate 53.75 Nathan's hot dogs with buns in 12 minutes. Well, that's just weak. How many Dodger dogs do Los Doyers fans eat every baseball season?
Dodger dogs in a season.
Oh, my God.
Season, Lisa.
Yeah,
season.
I know. And there's like 100 games.
There's like 7,000 games.
90 home games.
90 home
81.
Games.
81. 81 plus playoffs.
A lot.
30,000.
30,000. Jeff? Jeff, is that exactly right, or should the answer be higher or lower?
Should be higher.
Higher, yeah.
Lisa, they sell 30,000 every night.
That's what Mike just said.
1.67 million Dodger dogs in a season. Jeff, you're in the drawing. Browse, you lick Lisa. That was the worst possible guess.
Yeah, that wasn't good.
I think. Well, I mean, I guess she could have said 20,000, but still.
The wrist again?
In a different place.
If her arm was hairier, I would like licking it more.
Still funny, Mike. Still funny.
Jacqueline in Huntington Park. Good morning.
Buenos dias, Kevin and Bienvenida.
Buenos dias.
And you as well. Please listen up. Here's your question. It's the Weedy edition of Lick Lisa. We're trying to give away some tickets. Sick, Sick, Sick is the name of the new sick single from Queens of the Stone Age. Lisa, we're playing it here on K-Rock. Here's the question. How many years has my girlfriend, Queen Elizabeth II, reigned the United Kingdom?
I'm sorry. Do you mind if I ask that question? Because it doesn't look like it's been asked correctly.
No, that's the question. How many years has Queen Elizabeth reigned?
Geriatric inbreed girlfriend, Queen Elizabeth II, reigned.
I'm not going to insult Her Majesty, of course.
65 years.
65 years.
65
okay.
years.
Jacqueline, is that exactly right, or should it be higher or lower?
Higher.
Not the honor. I'm sorry. You yes. did not get to lick Lisa.
You can't use the F word.
Wow.
Okay. Let's go.
Is that what she yelled?
I yes. believe so.
Oh. Yelled it at the Ouch. Top of her lungs. Stella in Anaheim. Good morning.
Good morning. Hello, Lisa May.
Hi, Stella.
By the way, I'm all a Twitter that Elizabeth is in America right
Shut
now.
Shut up.
She's in Virginia.
Elizabeth.
I'm thinking,
kill
I'm thinking about flying out there and trying to see Liz.
It's a freaking old hag.
Liz.
All right, Lisa, listen up. Anton LaVey, of course, is famous for founding the Church of Satan. He authored the Satanic Bible. Speaking of bad religion, Scientology was founded by failed science fiction writer L. Ron Hubbard. To date, how many copies of his Dianetics book have been sold? How many copies of Dianetics have been sold?
6 million.
All right. Stella, higher, lower, or the same?
Higher.
Yeah, 21 million is what we were looking for there. So, Stella, you're in the drawing. Browse, you get to lick Lisa. Please, somewhere other than the wrist. Would you mind?
Thanks, Tom
right Cruise. There. Ooh, right in the neck. Nice.
Ooh.
Although Lisa's a little pushy with that. Hey, right there.
That's how I am at home.
Joy in Pacoima. Good morning.
Good morning, Kevin and Bina Lisa.
Hi, Joy.
All right, here's your question. Remember, Lisa answers first. The Sufferer and the Witness is the latest album from K-Rock band Rise Against. Lisa, your question. The biggest erect penis ever recorded by the Kinsey Sex Institute measured how long?
Mike?
No, that would be the smallest.
Easy, Browse. How long?
I'm going to
biggest ever.
Because erect. Hello, poon. Because some aren't, you know.
Oh, really?
They're big, but they never really. I'm going to say 11 inches.
I'm kind of excited.
Okay. Joy, exactly the same or higher or lower?
Higher.
Higher.
Who do you know that's got more than 11 inches, Joy? Where are you getting this information?
That's correct, though, isn't it?
It is correct, yes. 13 inches, ladies and gentlemen, is the biggest erect penis ever recorded.
I guess everybody does love dick.
13 inches.
Oh my
Joy, you're
God.
In the drawing. Browse, you lick. And then we got time for maybe just one more question.
Nice.
I am Nicely not a fan done. Of you anymore.
I don't care what you think.
I liked Browse right before today. Now he licked her on the wrist again. This is
arm.
Big opportunity. Oh, arm. Sorry.
Different place.
Wrist. Ronnie and Pico Rivera. Good morning.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hi, Ronnie.
All right, listen up. You'll be in the drawing for Weenie Rose tickets if you can correctly get this one from Lisa's answer. The number two most popular track of last year as ranked by the British music magazine NME was Young Folks, the song we play here on K-Rock by Peter Bjorn and John. It's fairly new to this country. Big, big hit for him last year. Your question, Lisa, what percentage of people have had a threesome in the United States?
I'll tell you what, that guy with the 13 inches, he's had a threesome.
I'm
going to say 15%.
15%. Ronnie, is that exactly right, or higher or lower?
Higher.
Higher is correct. Yeah, 18%. Pretty good guess there, Lisa. Hmm. Again, according to Men's Health Worldwide Sex Survey, but you are in the drawing. Browse, this is your final lick. Make it good.
The inside of the arm is very hot. Oh, that's very sexy. Wow, Kevin, what a waste. Don't even know what erogenous zones are.
No, but I'm just saying, he's an intern here at K-Rock. He's here for like 3 months. He gets to lick Lisa, and he's licking her wrist.
Where do you want him to lick?
I'm not accustomed to an arm without jewelry.
Every place but the vagina is open fair game.
I'm exactly naked here.
You've said before, you're
a bad person.
You don't even mind if...
You're a bad person. All right. Everybody who licked Lisa is in the drawing. Let's find out who gets the tickets for the K-Rock Weenie Rosie Fiesta 2007.
Stella, you are the winner.
We got a winner!
Nelly. Nicely done, Stella. You do not have to buy tickets when they go on sale Saturday at noon. You are going to the K-Rock Weenie Roast E-Fiesta. And thank you for playing Lick Lisa.
Thank you, guys.
Lick Lisa, lick Lisa, but keep clear of her vagina.
Time for your phone calls. 1-800-520-1067 is the phone number. You get on the air, you get a prize.
All right, how about this, kids? How about I can't find the list?
How about same as yesterday?
How about this?
How about new Spider-Man 3 video
games? Spider-Man 3 video game on your choice of PS3, Wii, or Xbox 360, along with a $30 Chili's gift card. Hey, get moving to Chili's today. And you know what we might do, since we have a very special prize that we saved to the very end of the show today? Why don't we pick the best call of the day for Kevin Bean's What It Do Nephew today? As a bonus, we'll throw in tickets for the Hullabaloo Benefit Concert, which is at the Henry Fonda Theater this Saturday night, featuring the Red Hot Chili Peppers, Eddie Vedder, and more. Go to SilverLakeConservatory.com. How's that for a bonus?
Wow.
Awesome.
That's pretty strong.
So everybody gets a good prize. Somebody even gets more by winning tickets to that show this weekend. And we'll start with Nadine in Inglewood on K-Rock. Nadine, what it do, baby boo?
What it do, nephew? What it do, Lisa May?
Hey, baby.
What's going on?
Guys, what is the deal with Mike Penner? He's like a sports writer for the LA Times. I'm getting a sex change operation. He's like 62 years old.
He's going to get a sex change operation, and then he's going to continue writing for the LA Sports. LA Times Sports.
They had a piece last Thursday. He just came out.
I love that.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, he's going to be change his name and everything. He's going to be Christine or something, right? Yeah.
The new Christine.
That's the best.
The new Christine, exactly. Well, I mean, what's the deal, I guess? Is it something he's probably wanted to do for a real long time, and he figures now's the time?
When you're 62, though, don't you go, all right, I had my chance. I'm pretty much getting old now. There's no reason.
I know. But guys, guess this. My boss knows him. He's been playing fucker with him for like 5 years.
No kidding.
Wow.
He was just like walking about with his mouth like hanging out like, oh my God. Oh
he
my
was
God,
shocked?
Dude, no, oh my God. Oh my
probably
God.
Put a lot of comments into better context for him.
Yeah, but it's like, it's not about being gay. He's like, this is what I want to do. You know,
he's not sister, gay, by the way. He's a woman.
Yeah, he's not gay.
He's an old woman.
He's an old woman.
I've always wanted to be an old woman.
Thank you for the call, Nadine. All right, let's go to George also in Inglewood. Good morning, George.
Good morning, Kevin Bean. What a do, and baby Lisa.
Nicely done.
Hi.
You know, that's why we like the name of this feature so well. We don't think we pull it off well, but you, the K-Rock listener, are even worse than we are.
Yep.
Okay,
exactly. Thank you so much.
Go ahead, George.
Who here likes Fight Club?
I do.
I had a nice little contribution. Remember what he used to do in the theaters? I was watching Next last week somewhere around the little rinky-dink theaters.
Right.
About 30 minutes into the movie, something very disturbing pops up on screen.
Right.
Guy
Nicolas Cage's hairpiece?
Very, very disturbing guy on guy stuff.
Oh, no, porn. Theater,
the lights turn on. They shut the movie off. Guys come in. You know, they're, sorry for the inconvenience. Here's some free passes, blah, blah, blah.
Sorry for all that gay sex. If you want to come back later.
Time would crack me up.
Excuse for the problem, you know?
That's awesome.
Could they just get past it and keep playing the movie?
I'm sure they were a little...
That's the thing. If it's spliced into the movie, they have to take the movie out, take the reel out.
Yeah.
You can't really fast-forward it.
But clearly that's not an accident. I mean, somebody did that on purpose for that reason.
While we were waiting there, the police showed up.
I think I would have stopped it as well, because you don't know if the whole rest of it is gay porn, for that matter.
That's true.
Right.
That's awesome. Whoever that was, big thumbs up from us.
But from what I've heard about that movie Next, gay porn is an improvement. I mean, I think the patrons must have been...
Dude, he can see 2 minutes into the future.
But he couldn't see that there was going to be gay porn spliced in his movie?
That's correct. All right, let's go to Jake in Anaheim. Good morning, Jake.
Hey, how's it going, guys? What it do, nephew? What it do, baby boo?
Hey, Jake.
What it do?
So I just want to know why Locke has to be such a pussy and why Sawyer's the man.
Yeah, Bean hates himself the Sawyer because his wife loves him.
And
no,
I
that's not
him.
Why at all. I hate him because he's a terrible actor and a horrible character on Lost.
He's so good. What's wrong with you?
You hate him. But I will tell you, because he just does that stupid, like, glare all the time and just says retarded things that are supposed to be some sort of comic levity on the show, I think. And it just doesn't match at all with everything else on the show. He just seems like he's so out of water and in a bad way. That's why I hate him.
No joke.
Bean.
However, Ralph, I know you're still off the Lost bandwagon, but last night was a phenomenal episode, and something great happened, some confluence of their lives, of Sawyer and Locke together, that I don't think we saw coming, which was very cool.
You don't want to give away to Ralph, because he's not going to watch it.
I don't want to give it away to you, because you haven't seen it yet.
Me neither.
I won't remember.
All right, let's go to Mario.
It's too late for me now. It's too late for me to get back.
Yes,
no,
totally.
I don't. Yeah. I don't think it is.
Too late.
I don't want you to watch. You don't deserve it. You don't deserve
it.
You don't deserve it. You've been bad-mouthing it too long. You have to let it go.
I agree.
Well, I have no interest to it, but people keep saying, now you have to watch it. It's good again. It's good again. It's like, well, it's too late now.
Yes.
Mario in Canyon Country, good morning.
Good morning. What it do, nephew?
What it do?
Okay, so I was coming from a club over in Hollywood. I was getting on the 101 from the Highland on-ramp, and I get pulled over.
Mm-hmm.
And so I pull over, and the cop said I was doing 70 in the 65.
70 and a 65?
Yeah, so I was like, okay, fine, if you want to get me for that, whatever. So they take me out, you know, breathalyzer, all that. And so they can't get me for anything. So they put me down. Now I'm in front of Universal Studios, and they give me a ticket for doing 70 and a 55.
But you were doing it in a 65?
Yeah, I was on the freeway. I was on the freeway, but they put that I was on the side street.
Do you want me to go to court with you and defend you?
No, I was just wondering if I have a leg to stand on to fight these guys.
Do you have a leg to stand on? Unless you can prove where you were, I don't know how.
Well, don't they have the videotapes on the front of their cop cars?
I don't know if they all do or not.
Interesting.
So they said you are in Universal and not on the Highland on-ramp?
Yeah, exactly. I was actually on the freeway because it puts you in the fast lane when you merge on.
Hmm. Do you have an attorney?
No, I'm in the process again. This just happened last weekend.
Because it seems to me like the best course of action is what whoever suggested the cameras, you ought to have an attorney try to get a copy of the tape, which they do roll on most cop cars when they get out of a car and approach a motorist. They do generally have videotape of that. That's what you ought to be trying to get. That'll prove where you were.
Okay. Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm trying to do, because it's like, you know, I have no criminal record. I'm not a gang member. And they were just like really...
Well, dude, you shouldn't drink and drive. That's what I take from this.
I don't think he was drinking and driving.
Oh, you weren't.
Okay.
Yeah, I didn't say fight it, yeah.
The other way to look at this is be grateful. Was it LAPD? Is that who it was, or CHP?
It was LAPD.
Yeah, just be grateful it wasn't rubber bullets, you know, and tear gas. I mean, it could have been a lot worse.
Fight it, Mario. Thank you for the call. Let's see. Let's go to Jose.
Let's go to Jose, because you got to hate him.
On every level. Jose?
What it do, nephew?
What it do?
Baby boo.
Hey, Jose.
Dude, what's up with your Lakers, boy?
Well, I mean, they didn't dominate, if that's what you're saying.
It's sad to say, man, but you got... The Clippers have a brighter future.
Yeah, right? I'm sure they do.
Shut up.
You know?
What?
No, no, that's based on science.
No.
The hell's wrong with you?
The Lakers organization has to blow up the Lakers squad and get Kobe Bryant some all-star caliber help.
Right, and you know what's going to happen before that? Nothing with the Clippers, I'll tell you that right now.
I think they got their core guys. Who do the Lakers have coming back next year than Kobe and Lamar?
What did their core guys do for them this year that makes you think that there's such a bright future for them? The Lakers are one big man possibly away from being a contender in the West. The Clippers have essentially a draft
pick. That's what I'm saying.
Here's the problem, though.
If you're a real Laker fan, you would have wanted the Lakers to get blown out, swept. That way organization can see that they need to blow this damn team up.
I am in favor of them blowing this team up for the most part. But I don't think the Clippers... See, the problem with the Clippers and the Lakers, the problem here is owners. That's the problem. The Lakers have a good owner. Clippers have a crappy owner.
But it always comes back
to that.
I'm a Laker fan, and they should have... You know, they had to get rid of Shaq, but they should have been patient and got something in return for Shaq. And that's all Kobe's fault, because he was negotiating with the Clippers, and he made the Lakers jump the gun, and the Lakers ended up getting not one all-star for the most dominant player ever in the sport. And that's why I hate the Lakers now. And I hate Kobe with a passion.
You know, I think you'd have a lot of fans in your opinion here if you hadn't tried to contrast into what the Clippers are doing, which is really kind of irrelevant. The Lakers may have made a mistake with how they traded Shaq, but it didn't help. Didn't make the Clippers any better. I think that's our point. But I think we're basically on the same page as you. So,
yeah.
All right. Who do you like? Who do you like? I think for the big prize, the Red Hot Chili Peppers concert for Hullabaloo for
Saturday.
Well,
we had Next with the porn sliced into it. We had the legal advice, how to fight an unjust ticket. We had Locke is a pussy, so he's the man. We had. Okay. What's up with the LA Times sports writer? It's getting a sex change.
I liked Nadine, but I also feel like Mario got such a raw deal that I wouldn't mind throwing him a bone, giving him a little something, something.
But Nadine, 62-year-old sex change.
What do you think, Lisa? Who do you like?
I have to go with Mario, too.
Damn it. Hey, Mario?
Yeah.
Congratulations. You got tickets for Saturday night.
Thank you so much.
You're
Drive
welcome. Drive carefully when you get there.
Yeah, in fact, you might want to carpool. Again, that's the Hullabaloo Benefit Concert at the Henry Fonda Theater this Saturday night. Red Hot Chili Peppers, Eddie Vedder, and more. Go to SilverLakeConservatory.com.
Nadine, so that's Bean and Lisa hate you. I apologize. I love
Not
you.
At all.
I'm
Not
a big fan of yours. They don't like you.
I want to thank our guest, Gustavo Arellano, for being on the program today. He is the author of the very funny book called Ask a Mexican, and, of course, the column that runs in the OC Weekly, too. And that is available everywhere. Books are sold. Go to askamexican.net.
Tomorrow morning, we have the movie beat. It's Friday. Ralph's going to tell us about, Spider-Man 3. Perhaps that movie's
like
coming
I'll
out.
I'll be able to get near the theater tomorrow.
Very excited about that.
Oh, my God.
Go tonight at midnight.
Yes, I'll do that. Good idea.
Yeah, I don't think I could do that after I went to Coachella on Sunday night. That's enough for me for 1 week.
What if they had beer at the theater?
I'd go.
Then you could get there.
Peter Krause, is that how you say his name?
Yes.
Civic Duty?
Yeah. Nate from 6 Feet Under. He's awesome.
Coming into the studio. Very excited about that. We got highlights of 24/7, the Oscar De La Hoya and Floyd Mayweather Jr. TV show.
Oh.
Can't wait for that Saturday night, that fight. Shortest marriages tomorrow on the program. And K-Rock Weenie Roast E-Fiesta tickets. It's your final day tomorrow to get them before they go on sale Saturday at noon.
All right.
Let me see.
Stay tuned now for the amazing Tammy Heidi.
No, actually, I was checking that. It's actually Cat Corbett up next with 40 minutes nonstop K-Rock, including Capital G, the new one from Nine Inch Nails, also some Weezer. The latest Bad Religion is called Honest Goodbye. We got Metallica, Foo Fighters, and so much more straight ahead right after this on the world-famous K-Rock.